69 on my phone.
Okay.
That's not gonna start anyway.
This is watching tonight, so you gotta be yuck.
I won't really be in canvas of Six Sigma Torah by writing to the manual that's open to write one of.
The Bizchit Shuvah and Yeridei Hilchos Sefer Torah quotes the Machlok Zachrayim. Can you be Yotzei in the Mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Torah B'Shutvus if a few people join together? So the Gemara in Chulin says the rule is at the end of Chulin. Gemara says whenever the pasuk is written in plural, then the Mitzvah applies even B'Shutvus. Whenever it's written in singular, you're not Yotzei B'Shutvus. I said the aim as a discussion. So here it says Kisva Lachem. So that's what a lot of Achranim say, Yotze B'Shutfus. Others say, this Rida Yesh has a tshuva about this, of Yotze B'Shutfus. He says, not only do we not know how to darshan psukim, we don't even know how to apply the klal that the Gemara says. The Gemara said the klal, we don't even know how to apply the klal. So we shouldn't assume like that. But that was the meaning in Europe, that people couldn't afford, most of the people couldn't afford to write their own Sefer Torah. So every community, every 50 years, everybody would get together. And they would commission a sefer to write a sefer Torah. So the shot is over here. All the letters, everything is written already. Just that they didn't fill it in. So many poskim hold it's kosher to lay the way it is now. So I pointed him to fill in a letter. The sefer Torah was kosher without that letter because the outline of the letter is ready there. No. So maybe you're not yet. Okay. Okay, during the days of the second Beis Hamikdash, they had many Yamim Tovim over and above those that appear in Chumash. That's called Megillas Tainus. And these Yamim Tovim and Megillas Tainus were also Betainus, also Behesper Betainus. And the Brisa of Megillas Tainus says that it's also even to fast the day before. The name is also to fast. So then the Gemara says, Amachloikis and Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches, whether after the Churban Bayis Sheni they will still observe all the Yom Tovim from Megillas Tainus. Maskana is that Batla Megillas Tainus, we don't observe the other Yom Tovim, with the two exceptions of Chanukah and Purim. So Tosfos and Menachos, and Menachos also Perek Rabbi Shema, the Gemara talks a little bit about some of the Yom Tovim and Megillas Tainus. So the Tosfos there, that Shita Mekubetzus quotes the Tosfos, has two opinions, whether Chanukah and Purim, Waloi Batla, what about Lefneim and Achreim of Chanukah and Purim? Is it permissible to fast the day before Chanukah or not? So we assume that it is permissible to fast the day before Chanukah, v'haraya, that on the erev of Chanukah in the morning, in Shachas, we say Tachnun. If we would treat the Lefneim L'Achreim as a Yontem, so you would have deleted Tachnun even in Shachas. We only leave that Tachnun erev Chanukah to Mishnah, to Mincha, like erev Lag Boima to Mincha, like erev Shabbos to Mincha. But erev Chanukah in the morning, we do say Tachnun, because behold, that Lefneim L'Achreim was batlo, just like the rest of Megillas Tainus was batlo. So Lefneim L'Achreim of the Chanukah and Purim is also like Shar Megillas Tainus batlo. So, but this is a kasha that the Rishonim ask. If Chanukah and Purim are still observed, and you have to observe even Lefneim L'Achreim, so you're not allowed to fast the day before Purim, day before Chanukah, according to that opinion in the Bali HaTosfos, and you take Levat Tachnun Erev Purim and Erev Chanukah in the morning, Levat Tachnun. So how can we fast Tainus Esther? How can we fast Tainus Esther? It's Lifnehem of Purim. So don't you see the fairish from the fact that we have Tainus Esther, that Lifnehem Lachreim of Chanukah and Purim is Batla like the rest of Megillas Tainus. So the Rishonim work on that kasha. The Baal HaMoor talks about that kasha. So the Sefer HaEshkol, written by the Rabbi Avraham Babesdin in Narbona, the Ravid and the Balamor learned Baharusa by him. The Ravid married the daughter of the Ravid. The Ravid married the daughter of the Rabbi Avraham Babesdin. He's also called the Ravid, daughter of the Eshkol. The Shachni every day writes in one place. Sometimes there's a steer in the Rishonim what the Ravid says. So he says, Lehevi Yadu, there are two different people known with the name Ravid. There was a third one who wrote a history book. But he's never quoted in Halacha. The Seder, what is it called?
Seder
Kabbalah. Sefer Kabbalah, yes, Sefer Kabbalah. He has all kinds of Bavli Maisis. So that's the Ravid, the history book. But the two Ravids who knew how to learn, one was the father-in-law, one was the son-in-law. So that's what the Shach says. Sometimes there's a stira. There are two different Ravids. He says also that sometimes there's a stira in the Riyaz. The Rishonim will quote the Riyaz saying two different things. So they say, you should know the two different Riyazes. One is Rabbeinu Yeshaya Achran Zal, the grandson of the Tosfos Rid. He's always quoted by the Shilta Gibbon. The other one is Rabbeinu Yitzchak Zarua from Vienna, a totally different country, a different part of Europe, a different region, two different people. The Shach points that out also, that the Rishonim quote the Riyazes saying opposite things. They're two different Riyazes. Anyway, so in the Eshkol, the Sefer HaEshkol, the different editions of the Eshkol. Originally, the Eshkol was put out by Auerbach in Europe with footnotes and Nachal Eshkol. He was a big Talmid Chacham. And then Albach claimed that he had misidentified Ksav. He didn't claim that, he said that he forged it. He said he misidentified Ksav Yad. It's not by the Eshkol, but by somebody else. He put out the real Eshkol. So I don't have the real Eshkol. I have the old Eshkol. Auerbach's Eshkol. So if it's not the Eshkol, it's some other region. Okay. We're not sure, but they don't think that it's a forgery. He quotes a lot from the Gaonim, from early Rishonim. So he gives a teretz on the kasha. He says, you're not allowed to fast on Erev Purim. You're not allowed to fast on Erev Purim, a yahrzeit, or if you have a final and you're nervous, or you have an interview and you're nervous, or you want to fast, a tainus based sorrow. But he says, the tainus esther is a tainus shel simcha. It's not a tainus shel tsar. So he said, that's not in stira to Purim. You're not allowed to fast on Erev Purim, lefneim lachreim, if it's a taina shel tzorah. But this is a taina shel simcha. Why? The taneisim of Shavuot b'tamis, some gedalia and asar b'tevis, those are taneisim of Avelus, that terrible tragedies occurred to the Jewish people. So in commemoration of the tragedy, we observe Avelus and we fast. It says in Shulchan Aruch that there's no din of chinuch on fasting on a taneisim, only Yom Kippur. The Mishnah in the end of Yuma says that a katan shegei lachinuch is supposed to fast on Yom Kippur, year before, 2 years before, whole discussion, how long before Yom Kippur. But the Mishnah Berurah says, on Tisha B'Av and Asar B'Tevis, all the other Taneisim, there's no chinuch for the Ketan. They give different reasons why. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, he quotes the Shagas Aryeh, says the reason why is because these are Taneis of Avelus, and Avelus, so there's a Machlekes and Moed Ketan, Machlekes Agoinim, whether Ketan Shigei L'Chinuch has to observe Avelus or not, and the Pesach in Shulchan Aruch is that no, even if it's the week before Bar Mitzvah, he doesn't have to observe Avelus. There's no chinuch on Avelus, whatever the reason why. So here also, it says in Shulchan Aruch that the Ketanim, even Ketan Shigei L'Chinuch, doesn't have to fast on all the other Taneisim. The Shaila is, what about Tainus of Tainus Esther? Tainus Esther is not Avelus. It's not a commemoration of a tragedy that occurred. It's a Tainus of Simcha. Like the Eshkol says that it's not in stira to, there's nothing wrong with fasting Erev Purim if you're fasting a Taina Shel Simcha. So it could be that Tana fast also. In fact, today, in the Slichus that we said in the morning, so we said that Mordechai went to the Beis Medrash and he had all the young children fast. So it's that was a Taina space, sorry, they had the young children fast. So maybe Farket, maybe Bedavke, the young children should fast. They cut and shigil on Tisha B'Av, they don't fast because that's the time of Shal Avelus. Like it says, a cut and shigil achinuch does rip kriya. When a relative dies, he does rip kriya. He doesn't observe Avelus, but he does rip kriya because kriya luchud b'Avelus luchud. Kriya is not a niyug Avelus. But the Magen Avraham says that the kriya by the Kaisel HaMaravi and Or Yehuda b'churbanim, Yerushalayim b'churbanim, that the cotton does not, even shigil achinuch does not do. Because that kriya is a form of Avelus. The Gemara says, Kriya l'chud, Avelus l'chud, that's Kriya when a relative dies. But the Kriya on the Churban Beis HaMikdash and the Churban Oris, that is a form of Avelus, so the Ketanim don't fast. So the fasting on Erev Purim, fasting on Tainus Esther, is a Tainus Shel Simcha, it's not a Tainus Shel Avelus. So maybe the Ketanim should fast. And it's a Zecha to the Tainus that they fasted then. And the Midrashim say that Mordechai went to the Beis Medrash, had the little children fast. The Midrashim say that he crossed over the river and he went to the Beis Medrash, and what river? One river. Doesn't say anything in the Megillas Esther about the river. So Rabbi Ruf Margolius has an essay. He says the Jews who lived in Persia know where Shushan HaBira is, and he pointed out that Shushan HaBira, in the Megillas Esther, talks about Shushan HaBira. They're two different things. It's like New York, New York. It's the city of New York and the state of New York. So Shushan Abira is a section within the city of Shushan. Shushan Abira is where the capital was, where all the government buildings were. The Jews didn't really live in Shushan Abira. Jews lived in Shushan. That's the rest of the city. And there's a river that separates between the two. Arayamazet, there's still a river there. So that the Medrash was written by the people who knew that he went from Shushan Abira when he heard the bad news that there's a Gzeres Hashmar against the Jews, a Gzeres to kill all the Jews. They crossed over the river, he went to Shushan where all the Jews lived, and he had all the children fast in. I remember Absalvechik said that Magen Avram quotes from the Ramban that on Asar B'Tevis and Shavasa B'Tamis and some Gedalia, it's a Midas Chassidus to observe all the Hamisha Inuyim and Leila Kiyomo also. Antishabab Yimchui Medida to observe all the Hamisha Inuyim and Leila Kiyomo. And the other Tanesim, the Ramban writes in the Torah Sodom, since Mikir Adin, when it was really a Choyva, it was Leila Kiyomo, 24 hours, and all the Hamisha Inuyim. So even up his man is there, Rats Masanim, Ratsay Masanim, and the Kvash of Yuval, I Choyva is only Bayom, and only for Achilashtiya, but as a Midas Chassidus, it would make sense to observe all the Hamisha Inuyim and Leila Kinyom, unless the wife went to Mikvitz Lil Tvi Losa, so that's not right to observe Amidas Chassidus at the expense of the wife. He has to be on the Lil Tvi Losa Tzachaybas Oino. Or if a person's going to wear sneakers, a person normally wears shoes, all of a sudden the Shavasa Batam is going to wear sneakers. So he's demonstrating in public that he's observing Amidas Chassidus. So that's when the Magen Aram says, he shouldn't wear sneakers. He should walk with his regular shoes because you're not supposed to advertise that you're observing Amidas Chassidus. Rav Zalbechik said that whole chumra from the Magen Avram, based on the Ramban, that one should recommend and one should observe Amidas Chassidus over Hamisha Inuyim. So that's only on Shavuot B'Tamuz, Asar B'Tevis, and some Gidal, but not on Tainus Esther. He said Tainus Esther, the Tainus Shal Simcha. We're not observing Avelus. So you don't have to observe all the others. So that's the shayla with respect to a chasen. Yeah. So there's a Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara tells a story that when they had the day of Korban Eitzim, that specific days in the course of the year with different families, had a chazakeh, that they donated the Atzei HaMaroche for the Beis HaMikdash. So the day on which a person comes to the Beis HaMikdash and he brings a Korban, that day has to observe like a Yontif. So the Gemara says, one of the families had Korban Eitzim. Their Korban Eitzim was on, I think, on Yud Ov. I forgot already. On Yud Ov. So sometimes Tisha B'Av is in Itche. So you fast on Yud Ov. So the Gemara says, "V'saninu v'lo hishlamnuhu." When they were fasting, they still observed the yontif of Korban Eitzim even after the Korban Abayis, because the families used to celebrate Bizman Abayis. So after the Korban Baisheni, they were fasting on Yudov when it was a Nitch, when Tishma fell out on Shabbos. So that family, Hisanina v'lo hishlamnuhu, ki yontif shalonu haya. So the Gemara tells you when it's a yontif shalonu and it's a tainish and itche, so you don't have to be mashlim the whole tainish. Where do we have a case of a yontif shalonu? So we say the three bali bris. If there's a bris, let's say an atish above shenitcha, so the three bali bris are the mother and the father count as one. The parents, even though the mother's not mechuyev in milas abein, the mother is going to be a chodesh em b'sakana anyway. She's going to eat anyway. But let's say she's very healthy. So still, she's a balas abris. Mother, even though the mother's not mechuyev, the parents are considered bali bris. The moel and the sandik. These are the three people. They're called Bali Abris. I know yesterday they made me the Sandik by Bris, but because the baby was so tiny, the baby was a twin. There was a boy and a girl. And they had to wait a couple of weeks till the baby got a little fatter. But because the baby was so tiny, everything was so tiny, so the moil had to do a whole surgery. So he didn't want me to hold the baby. So he had me sit over here and had the baby on the table. And he was doing, so I don't know if I had the din of a Sandik. The minig is at the Sandik by the bris, so we left our tachnan in the morning. Then it says the Shulchan Aruch, the minig is that the three Bali Abris, the Sandik and the Moel and the Aviyah Ben and the mother, leave our tachnan by Mincha also. So the tzaddik, the Medrash says the tzaddik uses, he used different organs in the body to perform different mitzvahs. So the tzaddik uses his lap to fulfill the mitzvah of tzaddikos. I didn't use my lap. The baby was on the table. My lap was under the table. Like here, my lap is under the table. I had to hold the baby down. How to hold him down, that the moel should be able to do the surgery. How to use a special instrument, because everything was so tiny on the baby. He said that his father had devised this. His father was a moel also. His father had devised this instrument for doing bris milah on babies that have everything is so tiny by them. So I don't know. So I suffic tachnun. So I didn't say tachnun by mincha, but I may believe I was saying tachnun. So I was saying tilim when I leaned over by mincha. Okay. Safik Tachnun is Lekula Mestama. So the Gemara says that when Tisha B'Av was in Itche, when a Tanis is in Itche, so he said Yantab Shalana Hoya. So some Achranim hold not only when it's in Itche, that case happened to be the Yom Karban Eitzim was Yudov. So when Tisha B'Av was in Itche, his Haninim Vashlamnu. What if, let's say, there's a bris on Tisha B'Av, there's a bris on Shavasa B'Tama. So do you say Yantab Shalana even if it's not in it, if the Tanis is not in Itche? So that's a Machloikis. Mangan Abram quotes a Machloikis. He quotes a Chuvas Maram Lublin, and the Minig is Lahachmer, that only when it's a Nitche. So Chacham Avadya has a little Chuvah and a little Sefer, not in a big one. What's it called? Ichavadas. He has a Chuvah where he explains that if it's Chosin Kala in the middle of Chuvas Yimei Amishta, also it's Yantam Shalanu. Like the day of the Korban Eitzim, or if there's a bris on the day, the three Bali bris, or the Chasal Kala Midla Shivas Ma'amishna, the Tziyam Tzim Shalahem. So if they got married a day or two before Shavasa B'Tammuz, and Shavasa B'Tammuz is not a Nitche, so then they fast. Shavasa B'Tammuz would be a Nitche, then it would say Yom Tzim Shalahem, they wouldn't fast. So Chacham Avadya has a tshuva that if they got married, a day or two, a few days before Tainus Esther, and even though Tainus Esther is on the right day, today Tainus Esther is not on the right day. So Muktam. Yeah, all the other Tainusim, you're not Magdim. The one Tainus that you're Magdim is Tainus Esther because it's a Tainus Shel Simcha. So that consideration, Agdumi Parnus, Aloy Magdimina, doesn't apply over here. So if Tainus Esther falls out of the middle of Shivas Me'amishta, so Chacham Avadya says that they should eat. Why? So the cheshbon that he gives is that Tainus Esther is much more kal than the other Tanesim. It's not really a choivon. It says in the Ramah, if you have kove einayim, if you have any slight pain, aching pain, even though it's not a chol d'shem b'sarkan, he's allowed to eat, and he should fast on a different day. So he says, since it's more kal, so you can rely on the other opinions who say that even if the Tanis was not a nitche, also you say yontem shalom ha'oyim. So I had a different explanation why. I have a different hesbah to explain that din. I thought the din was correct, that a chasen kala should eat on Tainus Esther, even if it's not a mukdam, even if it's on the right day, for a different reason. Why? So the Magen Avraham quotes the Chuvas Maram Lublin on this din, who says, how can there be those who say that if the tonus is not a nitche, then you have to fast. You don't say yantam shalana hoya. The Gemara is beferish that even if it's not a nitche, because the Gemara says in Erev and Daf Mem, the Gemara has a shaila, if Tisha B'Av falls out on Friday, they fast the whole day. By us, the only tonus that falls out on Friday is Asar B'Tavis. So let's say Asar B'Tavis falls out on a Friday. So do you fast the whole day till the night time? Or do you say no, because it's a consideration, you're not supposed to eat elaborate meals on Friday. The Gemara says in Gittin that a few families were punished at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni. They were totally wiped out because they used to have big parties on Friday. And the Magen Avraham and Hilchos Erev Shabbos quotes from the Shalot, it's not proper to have fleshiks on a Friday. A lot of times if you go traveling by plane and you order a kosher meal, you're traveling on plane on Friday, they're going to give you a fleshig meal. So a lot of times when I get a fleshig meal on Friday, I don't eat the fleshig. So I'll eat the pickles. I'll eat the coleslaw. But I won't eat the flesh. It's not right. And there it's all. A lot of places they serve fleshigs for lunch in yeshivas. Even on Friday they serve fleshigs. That's against Magen Avraham quotes the Shalot. That's not right. That's supposed to eat fleshigs. It's considered an elaborate meal. The Shalot just quotes when there was a bris on Friday morning and they serve fleishik, so one of his rabbeim would participate in the meal, one would not. That's the shaila whether b'moka mitzvah it's proper to have a fleishik meal by bris. So that's the shaila whether b'moka mitzvah is that proper to have a fleishik meal on Friday or not. So they even talk about before chatzos. Yeah, they even talk before. Yeah. That's a new thing, that there's a mitzvah to do hachana of Shabbos, so you taste the food a little bit, a mafshehu, to make sure that everything is beseder, that it tastes good. We're not supposed to have a whole elaborate meal. We're not supposed to have a whole elaborate meal on Friday. So, you're not allowed to have an elaborate meal on Friday. Shouldn't have fleishiks, but it's not right to fast the whole day on Friday. He's going to enter into Shabbos. He's starving. So the right thing is you shouldn't eat elaborate meals on Friday. They should have Kidei She'echal Suda Shabbos L'Teyovan. The Gemara has a Machlekes HaTanami. After what point are you not allowed to eat on Friday? Samach L'Mincha G'dalu, Samach L'Mincha G'tana. Maybe it's only Erev Pesach. Maybe it's every Shabbos, every Erev Shabbos, every Erev Yom. First off in an Arvei Pesachim, all Machlekes HaTanami. But it's not right. L'Konis L'Shabbos K'rim Munan is starving. So the Gemara has this Machlokes HaTanaim. Rabbi Akiva, I think, says, when Tisha B'Av fell out, Rabbi Akiva lived Bizmanche Kitchal Piyariya, so Tisha B'Av sometimes fell out on a Friday, by us only Asar B'Tavis falls out on a Friday. So when Tisha B'Av fell out on a Friday, so late in the afternoon, Rabbi Akiva would break his fast, Kadesh Loi Nikonis L'Shabbos Kishul Me'un. That was a Machlokes HaTanaim. And we pass from the Maskonis HaGemara, no, Misano Mashlan, that you should fast the whole day. We don't say like that. So the Gemara asks, why this Rav Lezer Rav Tzodek says he's from the descendants from Bnei Sana Ben Binyamin. He was from Shevet Binyamin. The dead Korban Eitzim was on Yud Av. So once Tisha B'Av was in Itche V'Sanina V'lo Yishlamnu because Yontem Shalana Hoya. So why only the year that it was in Itche? Every year Tisha B'Av is Erev Yontem Shalahem. So they should have broken the fast on Erev Tisha B'Av in the afternoon, because it's Kadesh Lo Yikonis Aliyantu Kishuhu Me'una. So the Maharam Avlin says, what kind of a question is that? You only say Yantam Shalanu when it's a Nitche. And over here, the Gemara was asking, every Tisha B'Av you should never have fasted late in the afternoon. Why only when Tisha B'Av is a Nitche, Yantam Shalanu, is Aninu V'lo Yishlamnuhu? The Gemara asks, every year on Tisha B'Av you shouldn't have fasted late in the afternoon on Tisha B'Av, because it's Erev, the Yontem Shalahem. I forgot already what the Gemara answers. But you see from the Gemara that even if it's not a Nitche, so the Maram Lublin answers, it's Toli Zebezeh. If you hold that when Tisha B'Av falls out on a Friday, you eat late in the afternoon, like Rabbi Akiva's practice, then you see Yontem Shalahem even on Tisha B'Av, even if it's not a Nitche. But if you hold like the Maskana, that when Tisha B'Av falls out on Friday, you have to be in Sanu Mashlam till the end of the day, so then the Yantav Shalana wouldn't work on the Tonis, only if it's a Nitche. That's what the Maram Lublin says. Why is it Tolis Ebezeh? What's the connection? So Rav Soloveitchik explained that the Gemara has two ways to understand this practice of Rav Lezer Rav Tzodek, I think it is, that he says he was a descendant from Bnei Sana Ben Binyamin, and their Yantav, their Korban Eitzim was always Yudov. So when Tisha B'Av was in Itcha, they ate. Why is that? Is that because it's a mitzvah to eat on the Yontem Shalahem? So since it's a mitzvah to eat, so then you don't have to observe the Tanis. So if that's the reason why, then when Tisha B'Av falls out on a Friday, there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Shabbos. Kadei Shalai Nekaras L'Shabbos Kishu Me'una. So the mitzvah to eat makes it mutter. And if you have a bris on Tisha B'Av, so it's a mitzvah to eat, the bali bris, the three bali bris, the parents with the sannik with the moel, it's a mitzvah they should eat, so they're allowed to eat on Tisha B'Av also. So that's what the Gemara thought. If you hold like Rabbi Akiva, that even when Tisha B'Av falls out on Erev Shabbos, you ain't a mashlim, because it's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Shabbos, kadesh lo yikonis l Shabbos kishul me'una. So then even on the Tisha B'Av Mamish, it would also be Mater. That was the Gemara's Kasha. By this family, every Tisha B'Av was Erev, they're Yontif. So even on Tisha B'Av, it's a mitzvah to eat, Kedei Shalekonis Le'yontiv Kishul Ma'unah, so they should have eaten. But once you get to the Maskanas HaGemara, that when Tisha B'Av falls out, when a Tana, any Tana, sorry, but Tavis falls out on a Friday, you have to fast. So the nature of that Heter is different. It's not that the Vort is, whenever there's a mitzvah to eat, then you don't have to fast. The Vort is, the Lashon HaGemara is Yontiv Shalano Hayah. What is Yontiv Shalano? The day is labeled as a Yontiv, and on a Yontiv there's an Issa Tainus. That's why you're allowed to eat. So Bamedvar Mamurim, that's only if it's going to be a Nitche. If Tisha B'Av is a Nitche, so yesterday was the Yom HaTanis, and today we do the Kiyam HaTanis. But today is not labeled as the Yom Tanis. Yesterday was the Yom HaTanis. That's a Machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, Machlekes in Rishonim. Rabbi Neza has a Chubis, but he explains this issue. So then she used to say it over from the Abdi Neza. When Tisha B'Av is in Itcher, Rabbi Yochanan says in the Gemara, if I would have been there, his man Bayisheni, Churban Bayisheni, he would have made the Tonis on Yudov, not on Tisha B'Av, because the Ikas Shreifas based on Migdash was on Yudov. The Goyim came into the Hechel, they started burning it, they put the torch to the base on Migdash late in the afternoon on Tisha B'Av. So it started to burn. But the main strafe, Beis Hashem, was really on Yudov. So he said, if I would have been there, I would have made the takana that you should fast on Yudov, not on Tisha B'Av. The Gemara, how come the other Tanoim didn't agree with Rabbi Yochanan? Gemara says, Aschalta de Poranusa. Aschalta de Poranusa, Gemara says, the most heartbreaking was when they put the torch when it started to burn. And then it kept on burning. Okay, Trafal. But the main heartbreak was when they started to burn the Beis HaMikdash. That's where the takana was on Tisha B'Av. So the Shabbos, when Tisha B'Av falls out on the Shabbos, we fast on Yudov, is it because that's when the Tana should have been? So today is the Yom HaTana. So you say, no, it's a Tashlumen for yesterday. So we really assume that it's a difference. When you fast on Tisha B'Av, that's the Yom HaTana. When you fast on Yudov, it's Betoris Tashlumen. Tashlumen means that yesterday was the Yom HaTana, and today is the Kiyum HaTana. But today is not called the Yom HaTana. So once the Gemara comes to the Maskana, that when Tisha B'Av falls out on Friday, you're not allowed to eat, so it's not whenever there's a mitzvah sachila, then you don't have to fast. Whenever you can label the day as a yom yontif, as a yontif shalano, a yontif, the Bali Bris, or the Chosin Kalin, Shivis Me'am Mishta, or the Yom Korban Eitzim, whenever you can label the day as a yontif, so then you say, on a yontif, there's an Issa Tonis, you're not allowed to fast the whole day. But there is no such din that whenever there's a mitzvah to eat, you're allowed to eat on Tisha B'Av. No. So when Tisha B'Av falls on a Friday, you can't label the day as a Yom Tov. The day is labeled as a Yom Tainus. But if it's a Tisha B'Av Shenitcha, same thing if you have a bris on Tisha B'Av, you have a Chosin Kala, they got married 5 days before Shivasa B'Tamas, 5 days before Zasar B'Tavis or something. So you can't label a day as a Yontav Shalahem. The day is a label for the grandfather so for centuries already as a Yom Evil. A Yom Tainus is a Yom Evil. So you can't superimpose a Shem Yontav on a day, a Yom Evil. Yontav and Avelis are tied to the Sasri. But if it's a Tisha B'Av Shenitche, or it's any other Tainus that's a Nitche, so the Nitche means that the Yom Evil was yesterday and the Kiyum is today. So today is a blank day. It doesn't have a Shem Yom Evil. So you can label the day as a yontif shalanu, and that's why you're not allowed to fast. So once the Gemara, again, so that's what the Maram Lublin meant, once the Gemara comes to the Maskana, that when Tisha B'Av falls out on Friday, there's no heter to eat, there was the Nikudas, this was the debate in the days of the Tanoim. When Tisha B'Av falls out on Friday, there's a consideration, Kadesh lo yikonis l'shabbis kishu me'une, so there's really a mitzvah to eat a little bit, because as a mitzvah, does that allow you to eat on Tisha B'Av? So we paskan no. Rabbi Kiva held that yes. Because it's a mitzvah to eat, so eat even on Tisha B'Av. The mitzvah to eat is Kadesh Lodin Karens L'Shabbos Kishomun. We don't paskan like that. We hold that the reason why Yontav Shalanu, the reason why when Tisha B'Av was in Itche and his Yom Korban Eitzim was on Yudav, so they didn't eat a whole, they didn't fast the whole day, is because the day was labeled as a Yontav. So on Tisha B'Av Guf, you can't label a day as a Yontav. It's a Yom Evil. You can't superimpose a Shem Yomtov on a day that's a Yom Evil. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik explained Pshat in that Chuvas Maram Lublin that the Morgan Avram quotes in Hilchas Tisha B'Av. So if you say like that, then you can understand very well over here. if the Shivas Me'amishtah, the Chasan Kala got married, then it comes Tainus Esther. So Tainus Esther is not a Yom Eivul, it's a Tainus Shel Simcha. So there's no Tata this house. So you say the day is Tainus Esther, it's a Yom Simcha, and you superimpose a shame Yontav on the day. The Yontav Shalanu, the Chasan Kala, Yontav Shalahem, there's no Tata this house. Tisha B'Av and Asar B'Tavis and Tzom Gedalia, that's a Yom Eivul. So that's a Tata this house. Since it's already been established a Yom Eivul for everybody, he can't superimpose a shame Yontav Shalanu on top of a Yom Eivul. But Tainus Esther is not a Yom Eivul at all. So the day is called the Yontav Shalahem. So it's taka, it should be, they should be also to fast. They should have to eat the Chasan Kala. Even if the Tainus Esther is on the right day. Today Tainus Esther is on the wrong day. But even if it would have been on Yud Gimel, you would say they should eat. Rav Soloveitchik said that his grandfather Rav Chaim wouldn't want to take an aliyah whenever Tainus Esther is a mukdam, because the Meiri, I think it's in the Mogen Avos, in the base matters downstairs, the Meiri wrote a sefer Mogen Avos about the Chilufim and Hogim when the Ramban passed away. So the Talmidei HaRamban went to Provence to learn Torah there, to see what they have to offer. So there were big conflicts as far as different minhagim. So the Miri wrote a whole sefer Mogen Avos to defend the Minig Avos, to defend all the minhagim in Provence. I think it's in that sefer. I'm not sure. But the base matters downstairs, they have the catalog. So it says they have a Mogen Avos, but it's not there. They have all the other, huh?
Rabbi writes in the sefer that it's in the Mogen Avos.
Oh, yeah? Oh, I didn't mean that. So I think it's in the Mogen Avos. So he quotes that there were different minhagim, whether you fast on Friday or fast on Thursday. So Rav Chaim didn't want to take an aliyah to Mincha on the Mugdom on Thursday. Maybe it's the wrong day. Maybe it's a bracha levatol. You can't just say bracha brichas hatorah. He said in the morning brichas hatorah. So to get an aliyah in the morning, you get lightning kriyas hatorah anyway. Monday or Thursday, you lightning kriyas hatorah anyway. But to Mincha, you don't lightning kriyas hatorah. So that was Rav Chaim, had all kinds of chumras.
It's Thursday or Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. Why? Because it's a Tainus Shel Simcha. If it would have been a Tainus Shel Avelus, so you wouldn't have it on Erev Shabbos. But it's a Tainus Shel Simcha, so that's why others held that it's okay. You can fast on Friday. You don't have to fast on Thursday. Yeah, what's the din? The Gemara says the Shliach Tzibur adds on a tefillah anenu, another bracha nishmane esrei. So what's the din if the chazan forgets anenu? So the din is if a yochid or the chazan forgets anenu, it's not ma'akeh b'dayevet. Yom sheyesh bo korban musaf on Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed, you say yalav yavoy. So yom sheyesh bo korban musaf, if you forgot the haskoros kedushas hayom, if you forgot yalav yavoy, you have to daven over again. But yom sheyesh bo korban musaf, let's say al anisim al chanukim purim, or anenu on a tiny sibur. So if you forgot, so the Brisa says in Perek Lama Madlikan, it's a Tosefta quoted there, that you don't have to daven over again. So if the Chazan forgot anenu, ben goy l'roife, so he says anenu and shemeh tefil. So Rashi's opinion is, the Gemara says the Anshe Knes HaGdolo was a body that consists of 120 Rabbonim, of Ahem Kama Nevim, amongst them several Nevim, and they were Mesakin the Yud Ches Brochas HaVaseda. So the Gemara says, "Emtzoyes ein lahem seder." The middle brachas of the Shmoneh Esrei ein lahem seder. So Rashi understands that if you said the brachas out of order, b'di'evad yoytze. Let's say he said, "Smach l'avin kechatonu," after Shmak Aleinu, or he said Shmak Aleinu before Atochainen, whatever. All the brachas in the middle ein lahem seder. So according to Rashi, if the Chazan forgot to say Aneinim, then Goyle Reif, he can say it after Reif, after Baruch HaLeira, after Hashiva Shavteinu, he can say whatever you remember. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, and we pass him like Tosfos. Because the Gemara says in Megillah, at the beginning of the second Perek, Yan Shem Knes HaGadol Ovan Mesaken, the Yud Ches Brachas Al HaSeder, means there is a Seder. What does the Gemara say? Mitzoy Seder Lahem Seder? No, it means a different thing. The Gimel Rishonis and the Gimel Achronis are considered one unit. So if someone made a mistake, let's say in the second bracha or in the third bracha of the Gimel Rishonis, so he doesn't just go back to the beginning of that bracha, he has to go back to the beginning of the whole unit of the three brachas. Let's say somebody forgot to say, what did he forget to say? I don't know. The person made a mistake in the second and the third of the Gimel Rishonis, Gimel Achronis, you have to go back to the beginning. So the brachas, I'm sorry, saying, I'm saying, it means you have to go back to Atochainen. He said, you didn't say Talamata. You did say Talamata when you weren't supposed to say. Or you didn't say Melech in Aseret Mishpat. You didn't say Melech Oyv Tzedakah Mishpat. He said, Baruch Atah Hashem Oyv Tzedakah Mishpat. You didn't mention Melech. So you have to daven over again. So you don't go back to the beginning of Atochan. You go back to Hashiv Shavtenu Kivari Shaina. To that bracha. That's what it means, Ein Lahem Seder. So Taisa says, therefore, if the Chazan forgot to say Anena Megerle Ref, he can't just say Anena wherever he remembers. That would be a bracha levatola, because the Emtzoy is Yesh Lahem Seder. So the Chazan should just say Anena and Shemet Tefillah, like a Yochid would do. The Gemara says at the conclusion of Chazaras HaShatz, the Kohanim are supposed to duchen. So they duchen by Shacharis and they duchen by Musaf. The Gemara says, "Man, the Torah, the one mechuyev to duchen once a day. They're not mechuyev to duchen even when requested. They're not mechuyev to duchen by Musaf min haTorah. But the Rabbanon, Karen Ari says, the Rabbanon made a takana after duchen at the end of Shacharis, at the end of Musaf. So why don't they make a takana? They should duchen at the end of Mincha. They don't duchen at the end of Marcos, no Chazaras HaShatz. Okay, but why don't they duchen at the end of Chazaras HaShatz of Mincha?" So the Gemara says, "Because a Shasa Revius is not allowed to duchen, just like a Shikir is not, Shasa Revius is not allowed to be Makar Karbonis, so Shasa Revius is not allowed to duchen, and we're concerned, Shchichi Shikris, people used to drink wine, so maybe someone had some wine, so you know. So what if it's a Tainus? What if the day is a Tainus Tzibur? So no one, there's no Shchichi Shikris, so the Kohanim should all duchen at the end of Chazaras HaShatz to Mincha. So that's a Machlekes Satana, and we pass Ganatza, we make a Loi Plug Rabbanim. At the end of Ni'ila, Ni'ila is only a Tfilas HaTainus. Ni'ila you only say on a Tainus. So at the end of Ni'ila you should duchen. Common practice is they don't duchen at the end of Ni'ila because the Chazan, when he gets to the end of Ni'ila, it's already after the Shkia. So many Rishonim say you can't duchen Balayla. That's the Mishnah in the end of Tainus says that the Rishami talks about it, that they would duchen, they wouldn't duchen by Mayriv. So a lot of Rishonim say, because Balayla you're not allowed to duchen. Others say, what do you mean? Not Balayla, because no Chazaras HaShatz, that's why. You only duchen at the conclusion of Chazaras HaShatz. There is no Chazaras HaShatz by Ma'ariv. So in Frankfurt, they used to, the Maril quotes that in Frankfurt, they used to duchen at the end of Ni'ila, because they didn't hold from this idea. There's no duchen in Balayla. Duchening is considered like Hakrovas Karbonis. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim, then Siyas Kapayim is considered like an Avodah. So the Rishonim say there's no Avodah Balayla. So the Maharil writes it's not correct, and the Shagasari, the last piece on Gvuras Ari, Amasechus Tainus, the last piece ends off in the middle of the paragraph. But that's probably what he was going to say, the same as the Maharil. You can't be Makro Karbonis Balayla, there is no such din. It's not true. Avodah Saddam can't be done by Lila. Shchita Kabbalah Halacha Zrika, the Dalar Avodah Saddam. When you have a Korban Mincha, so the Dalar Avodah is in the Mincha, they're parallel to the Dalar Avodah Saddam. The Kemitza is parallel to Shchita Yimavarech Elo Gavoya. Rashi says, Kemitza, you separate the komets that you're going to burn on the Mizbeach, and that's the definition of Shchita's Kochim. Shchita's Kochim is not the same as Shchita's Chulin. Shchita's Kochim is for the purpose of separating the Dam from the rest of the Korban. And the dam you're going to be zorek on the mizbech. Then you have kabbalah sadam shchita kabbalah halachas. Yeah, kabbalah sadam. So if they do the kmitza, you have to do the kmitza. The mincha has to be in a klisharis and a bisa beis yud samach aleph. If they do the kmitza, then you have to take the comments, put it into a new klisharis. Even though the whole mincha was in Scottish already, you have to put the comments into a new klisharis. You should have an additional, the deeper level of kedushin. Then you do halacha. Halacha is the same as halacha sadam. And just like there, you do Zrika Saddam, so here you do Haktoris HaKoyman. So the Dalar Avodah of the Mincha, that are parallel to the Dalar Avodah Saddam, cannot be done by Laila. But all the other Avodahs may be done by Laila. Nisuch HaYayin may be done by Laila. Haktoris HaMurim is called Laila Kula. So who is to say the Maril writes in Drosh's Maril, and that's what the Shagasari starts about. Who is to say that Duchening is to be compared to the Avodah Saddam? Duchening is an Avoida, but it's not like Avoida Saddam, Hechetesa. So why can't you duchen by Laila? The reason why you don't duchen by Ma'ariv is because no Chazaras HaShatz. You only duchen at the conclusion of Akrobas Karbonis Tzibah. Chazaras HaShatz is considered like Akrobas Karbonis Tzibah. Because when the person says Ritzei, when he says Shemei Tefillah, he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept the prayers. When he says Ritzei Hashem Alakenu, Ram Chisor Levis Filosom, We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept the prayers as if we had brought a carbon. Ritzi. Ritzi is a technical term that Ruba de Ruba appears in Tanakh in connection. Usually appears in connection with a carbon. So when the Yochid, there's a carbon Yochid and there's a carbon Tzibah. So when the Yochid Davin Shmane Esri Tfilu Balachash, and he says Ritzi, so he's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept the Tfilas HaYochid as if it would have been a carbon Yochid. When the Chazan offers Chazoras HaShatz, that's Tfilas HaTzibur. Not just that he's saying a private Shemana Esrei enabling everybody to chaparai na kedusha. No, that's Tfilos HaTzibur, parallel to Korban Tzibur. That's the Shilti Geborim, the end of Maseches Vashana points out. That the Chazaras HaShatz, just like the Korban Tzibur is often in the base of Migdash on behalf of all the Klal Yisrael, so the Chazaras HaShatz is Moitzi Amsha Basodis. Even the people who, the farmers who live far away from Shul and they can't come, Chazaras HaShatz on behalf of everybody. That's the Tfilos HaTzibur. So when the Chazan says Ritzei, he converts the Tfilos HaTzibur into a Korban Tzibur. So it's the Bracha Ritzei that enables the Karim to Duchen, because that's at the conclusion of Hakrovas Karbonat Tzibur. So Myra, there is no Chazaras HaShatz. So that's why there's no Duchening. That's what they said. That basically, he would have been able to Duchen Balayla. That's the Machloikas Amin Hogim. Only in Frankfurt they Duchen by Nila, even though it's Balayla, and the rest of Europe they didn't. So the Gemara says there's a machlokes hatanaim where they duchen by mincha on a tiny tzibur. So some tanaim hold, yeah, you can't say that there's a chashash shikras, everybody's fasting. We paskin that no. We paskin that you don't duchen by mincha. It's a loy plug auto mincha all year long, so we don't allow duchening on Yom Kippur to mincha or on a tiny tzibur to mincha. Ne'ila, yes, because ne'ila is not a loy plug auto all year long. There is no ne'ila all year long. Ne'ila is only a tefillah on a tiny tzibur. So the Gemara asks a question, behaidna. But Bizman Azeh, at the time that they wrote down the Talmud Bavli, the Hoidna that we duchen by Mincha and the Tanis Tzibur, how come? So the Gemara says, all year long they used to daven Mincha earlier in the afternoon. And the Tanis Tzibur, they used to daven Mincha late, right before the Shkia. By us is the reverse. That the Balabatim usually daven Mincha right before the Shkia. They make it sometimes by the skin of the teeth. Sometimes they don't make it. Sometimes they don't make mincha before the shkia. That mincha after the tiny sleep. Everybody davens mincha early, in case someone has to eat. So they want to say a name. But in days of the Gemara is fakert. All year long they would daven mincha earlier and the tiny sleep, but they would daven mincha later. So the Gemara says vehoidna. The reason why we duchen by mincha and the tiny sibur is because we daven mincha so late, so it become unusual. Unlike all year long we daven mincha earlier and the tiny sibur we daven late. So the mincha is bolet that is different from all year long, so it's like ne'ilo. So you don't have to make a loy plug, because it's a different zman for the mincha. So that's a shaila. What about the Eretz Yisrael now? They come in all the yeshivas. They daven mincha and tanis tiba early. In America, we don't duchen anyway, every day. So the shaila doesn't come up. But in Eretz Yisrael, they duchen every day. So what about Anatanis Tiba that they duchen to Mincha? They daven Mincha early Anatanis. The whole reasoning that the Gemara gives, because it has a different time, the daven Mincha is so late, unlike every day they daven Mincha earlier. Tanis Tiba they daven later, so the Mincha Anatanis Tiba is different, so it's like Ni'ila, Bizman HaTanoim, that there's no Loplug. But Bizman HaZeh, they daven Mincha early every day. They daven Mincha early Anatanis Tiba. So it's not at all similar to Ni'ila. So they quote from the Chazon Ish, that the Chazon Ish held that since the Gemara says Yeduchen by Mincha Bizman Hazeh, so that's the din even today. And most disagreed with the Chazon Ish. What do you mean? The reason that the Gemara gave doesn't apply Bizman Hazeh.
But it seems back in this time there's only one minute in town, so if you would up and remove the town, everybody would notice. Today there are 100 minyan, everybody would notice. Everyone that was there, number is convenient.
So therefore what? So where should that lead us?
There's no hacker.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you got to consider that. I don't know. Anyway, so that's in Eretz Yisrael and Bnei Brak, they duchen to Mincha on a tiny sibu because the Chazon Ish lived there. And the rest of Eretz Yisrael, a lot of places, they don't duchen to Mincha.
I asked, would it be an afternoon by
Elokim? Yeah. So we say Sim Shalom. We usually say Sim Shalom in the morning. And Mincha and Marbi don't say Sim Shalom because you don't duchen. But if it's a day that a tiny sibur, where theoretically he could have duchen, The only reason you're not duchen is because of the loy plug, so then we do say simshon. Then say l'ken l'ker v'seinu by mincha also, because in mother lo yerid, if the kohen would have gone up to duchen, we wouldn't tell him not to, just l'chatchila lo yale, but in mother lo yerid. So that's why we say l'ken l'ker v'seinu, we say simshon. And Shulchan Aruch says that the Ramos say simshon even Shabbos afternoon to mincha, because you have kriyas ha-toyra. So whenever you have kriyas ha-toyra to mincha, so on a tiny sibah, even forgetting about the duchening, on a tiny sibah you should say sim shalom, because you have kriyas ha-toyrah to mincha. The Bi'ur Agro writes in Shulchan Aruch that bizman ha-gemara, they didn't have kriyas ha-toyrah, they didn't lay by chala in the morning. They only lay on a tiny sibah to mincha. So in the morning, if it's sheni v'chamishi, you say lay in parshas ha-shavua. Or if it's not sheni v'chamishi, you say you don't lay in at all in the morning, just lay to mincha. So we don't have that. The days of the Goyim, they changed it. So they introduced that even in Shachris, you're laying on a time sibah. Well, when they introduced, why is it a bracha about Torah? Everybody said Birchas HaTorah already in the morning. So if it's, let's say on Sunday, there's a tshuva in the Meshiv Dover, there was Achnasa Sefer Torah in Chicago on a Sunday, and the people were dancing and singing in the street, and then they came to the shul, and they brought in the Sefer Torah, and then they decided to go auction off the aliyahs, and they're going to learn Kriyas HaTorah on a regular Sunday. So they did that. So other people said, what are you talking about? I said, Bracha L'matolah. Everybody said Birchas HaTorah in the morning, and then you say, if there's a Takanos Chachamim to learn Kriyas HaTorah, Shediv HaHamishi, or a Tainus Tzibah, okay. But if there's no Takanos Chachamim, so it's a Bracha L'matolah. So that's what they sent to Shailat HaDin Tziv. There weren't any Tamir Chacham in America, I don't know. They sent the Shabbat to Europe, and then it's here, wrote a tshuva, one of the early tshuvas in the Meshav Dover, second tshuva, the third tshuva. First tshuva of the Meshav Dover is to the Chavetz Chaim, but he's not happy about what he wrote in the Mishnah Brura, that if you wear a baby-sized Arba Kamphis, it's a Bracha L'matol, he doesn't think it's correct. He thinks it's not a Bracha L'matol. And I think maybe the second or the third tshuva is about this, about the Kriyas HaTorah in Chicago on Sunday, he thinks that it is a Bracha L'matol. So the Bi'ur Agro says that Bizman HaGemara, it's clear from the Gemara, they only learned Kriyas HaTorah on a tiny Sibah to Mincha. They didn't learn in the morning, unless it was Sheni B'Chamishi. And it was only introduced in the days of the Goyim. What do you mean, days of the Goyim? So why isn't that a Bracha L'Matolah? So I think what he says is, since that day is B'chuyiv and Kriyas HaTorah to Mincha, so if you learn more than once in the same day, it won't be a Bracha L'Matolah. Something like that. It's a little questionable. In the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Rav Shlomo Gansvi writes that when the Balkari lanes, the meaning is that we say along Hashem Hashem Kal Rachum Echanun, that's part of this big minik. We have the minik to say the four psukim of Geula in the Megillah, Ayun Ma'asarev Simcha V'sasim Yikar, and the last pasuk and the other two psukim, we say four psukim of Geula, so that's not the local minik in Samarab. I remember Talmud Chacham was speaking, so he said, the reason why you have these, everybody says along the psukim, to make sure nobody falls asleep in the middle of the Mikra Megillah, so they have to pay attention to know when they have to say along. That's not the correct reason. The Gaonim write, and the Eshkol that I have, he quotes from Tshuvas HaGaonim, that this is part of a meaning from all year long, that when you lay Necha, you say, Hashemein Hashem Edachman, Hashem Echad Hashemein Kikedem. When you lay on a tiny Sibah, you say, Hashem Hashem Karachim Echanan, so Lachta Lavanein Elchataseinu and Chaltanu. We say Psukim of Yeshua, Nechome, Geula, Slicha, Kapara. All year long the minig is like that. The minig on Purim is part of this minig from all year long to say these Psukim. So the Kitzur Shonoch says that on a tiny Sibu, when the Chazan is going to say, V'Avisham upon a Vayikra, everybody screams out Hashem, Hashem, Karach, Mechanon, everybody should start from the beginning of the Pasuk. Everybody should start to say softly, quietly, V'Avisham upon a Vayikra. So the Meforshim on the bottom of the page of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is Kakasha. Why? Because Kol Psuka Loi Paskim Aisha, Nan Loi Paskinon. But the Paskim say that if you're saying a Derech Tfilo, that you're allowed to. So when we say Hashem Mishkel Mach Lachanon, we're saying a Derech Tchino. So why do you have to start from the beginning of the Paskim? So others say that's not the reason why. The reason why he doesn't say why he recommends to start, to say softly from the beginning of the Paskim quietly. Perhaps the reason is different. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, in the first perek, that in this pasuk, Hashem Hashem Karachman, and you have mentioned the Yud Gimel Midas Arachman. So which exactly are the Yud Gimel Midas Arachman? So we usually assume Hashem Hashem, the first Hashem is one, second Hashem is two, Kel is number three, Racham is four, Chanun is five, and so on. And then Tosfos quotes another shita, Vayav Hashem Aponah, Vayikra Hashem, colon. And then the Yirgam Lamidas begin from the second, Hashem. So if you're going to say Hashem, Hashem, the first Shem, Hashem, is a Maske Shem Shemaim L'Atol. That's not part of the Yirgam Lamidas. And you just said Hashem Shemaim unnecessarily. So the minhag clearly is that we treat it as if the Yud Gimel Midas start from, let's say, on Yontif, when they open up the Aron Kodesh, and they say Hashem Hashem Karavach Mahanu also. So then you should start from the beginning of the pasuk. Ayav Hashem upon it. You shouldn't start Hashem Hashem Karavach Mahanu, because maybe the Rabbeinu Chananel is right, that the Bahag, I forgot already who, Taisus quotes one of the Rishonim, says that the Midas Arachim begin from the second Shem, not the first Shem. In the Haftarah that we read, Dirush Hashem Behi Motzo, so we say, Koy Ma Hashem L'Sari Seh Meshay Yishmeru Hashab Sosai Bacharu Bashar Chafatzti Machaz Ikim Bivri Si. What is he telling them? So the Chafetz Chaim has a lot of Svarim. Most of the Svarim are not about Lashon Hara. Most of the Svarim are about Emunah, Hashkafa, different things. So in one of the Svarim, he explains Pshat and the Pasuk that Sari Seh are people who don't have any children. They can't have any children. And there's a mitzvah piru v'rivya. What's a mitzvah piru v'rivya? So koyde matan Torah, mitzvah piru v'rivya used to be applicable to all the umas olam. And the Gemara says this mitzvah was named of Anishnas. It was given koyde matan Torah to all the nations of the world, and then it was repeated at Har Sinai. So the nature of the mitzvah changed, and now the nature of the mitzvah only applies to the Jewish people. And the Magid Mishnah writes on the Rambam that you're only yotzei if you have Jewish children. If you have Goyish children, he says, you're not yet, say, le'agershen is gayer, v'hoyel abonim b'nochu yuso. So we pass on like Rabbi Yechanan, that you're to Pir of Arabia. So the Rambam says, in Ezgara hu ban of imo. The children also converted. So there's a machloikas achreinim. What did the Rambam mean? So the Rishonim achreinim. So the Magen Mishnah learns pshat in the Rambam, that it's as far pshuta that you're not yet, say, Pir of Arabia with the non-Jewish children unless they convert. If you're going to remain non-Jewish, you're not yet. The Marami Prague holds not so, and the Bir Agro holds not so. They hold, even if the children convert. If the children didn't convert, so only the father was a gersh and his gar, he moved away from them. If the children convert, they also gersh and his gar, so each moved away from the other one. So they're twice apart from each other. So the Rama meant to say a bigger chiddush. Even if they both converted and each one moved away from the other one, you still yet to the mitzvah of Piriv Rivi. But the Magen Mishnah doesn't learn like that. Afilu in this gaira. The Magen Mishnah learns only in this gaira habonim. Says asvar pshuta that lacha matan Torah, the whole nature of the mitzvah changed. You're only yotzei piruv rivya with children who are Jewish, because the nature of the mitzvah is to transmit Yiddishkeit to the next generation, to transmit the masorah of the Torah. The Gemara says in the first parak in Brochus that the Chizki HaMelech says in Tanakh, Chizki HaMelech was deathly sick. Yishai Novi came to be mevakeh chol, and he tells him he's going to drop dead. Instead of telling him, I wish you well, tells him you're going to drop dead because you never got married and you didn't fulfill Piriv Rivya. So Chizki HaMelech tells him, I saw Baruch HaKodesh that if I'll marry, I'll have children, my son Ben Asher will be an Obed Obed Azor. So I won't be in fulfillment of the mitzvah anyway. If you have a son as an Obed Obed Azor, you're not Mekayim the mitzvah. So Yishaya Novi tells him, you're wrong. My Daloch Mifkid is, you're Mechuyiv to have Piriv Rivya, not a lot of clear. So what's the Pshat? What's the pshat and what Yeshaya Navi said? So they're different. You look in the Anyankev there, they have different pirushim on the Gemara. So some say the whole premise of Chizki HaMelech was wrong. Yotzei Piriv Rivya, even if till children are of the Avodah Zarah. But most of the Mefarshim don't learn like that. Most of the Mefarshim learn that Chizki HaMelech was right, that after Matan Torah, the whole nature of the mitzvah changed. Koyde Matan Torah, the nature of the mitzvah was to populate the world. Milos Oretz V'chim Shua. Pruvu Milos Oretz V'chim Shua. Populate the world. By the time it came, Maimon has seen it, but Hashem decided there are enough human beings in the world. You don't have to populate the world more. And the nature of the mitzvah now changed. It's only mutam b'nei Yisrael to transmit the masorah of Yiddishkeit to the next generation. So if you give birth to children, they're rub the Avodah Zarah, then you're talking not mekayim the mitzvah. So what did Yishai tell Chizki HaMelech that he was wrong? So either he said Yeruach HaKodesh is inaccurate, that your son Menashe will be chayzer b'tshuva, that's one version. Or he told me, you're not allowed to pass Kanshadat based on Ruach HaKodesh. That's a big deal in a poskim, whether that's correct or not. But many Mefarshim assume that what Chizki HaMelech said is correct, that the nature of Piriv Rivya today is to transmit the Jewish values, Yiddishkeit, to the next generation. So that's why the Gemara says in the second parak in Sanhedrin, Kolam Gadol Ben Chavera, Kolam Malamed Ben Chavera Torah, If you teach Torah to someone else's child, so that's a partial kiyama mitzvah piruvirivim. That's what Rav Soloveitchik thought. The Gemara says that Ben Azai was nafsha choshka b'Torah. He didn't want to get married. One version is he married Rabbi Akiva's daughter and he got divorced. The other version, he never got married. So the Rambam quotes this din, that Misha choshka nafsha b'Torah, and he doesn't want to get married, ain't be other ovum. We don't have any complaints against him. So Rav Soloveitchik said, ain't be other ovum, because Ben Azai was a Tana, he was teaching Torah b'Rabbim. So if it's Mamad ben Chaver Torah, Mavala Kosu Kili Yeloda, there's a partial Kiyama Mitzvah. But if a guy is not a Mavamad Torah Lacherim, so then he doesn't have any partial Kiyama Mitzvah, so it's Yesh B'yodu Oven. Only Yesh B'yodu Oven because he's fulfilling the Mitzvah in an incomplete form. So that's what the Chafetz Chaim writes, and other Gedolim write, you look the first page in Eben Ezer, on the side of the page, the Ezer Mikodesh quotes this, that whoever can't have any children should adopt. And when you adopt children, there's a partial kiyama mitzvah because you're teaching them Torah. So the Chafetz Chaim learns pshat in this pasuk, Koyem Mar Hashem L'Sorisim, Bachuru B'Asher Chafatzti. He translates it as Bachuru B'Asher Chafatzti means that they're supporting yeshivas, they're supporting Liman HaTorah. That one who doesn't have children, or one who doesn't get married, should donate money to yeshivas to the Lamed Ben Chaver Torah to support transmitting Torah to the next generation, because that'll constitute a partial kiyama mitzvah. On the Shabbos before Purim, we read Parsha Zohar. Some Rishonim hold that it's a din deraisa to learn Parsha Zohar. The Gemara says you have to learn mitoch haksav. It has to be Zohar b'peh. It's not enough b'lev, and it has to be mitoch haksav. Based on a rosh in Shulchan Aruch, they quote, based on a rosh, it would appear that you need Parsha Zohar b'asorah. You have to have a minyan, not just to take out a sefer Torah and to learn. You have to have a minyan when you learn Parsha Zohar. Because the Rosh talks about the Gemara in Brochus, that Rav Lezer was Meshachar, his Eved, to be Mashlim to a minyan. So Mashlim to a minyan is a Dovish B'Kedusha, that's only Midirabbanan. A Meshachar Av Da'ovah B'Essay, that's a Din D'Araisa. So he violated a Mitzvah D'Araisa, an Essay D'Araisa, Meshachar Av Da'ovah, in order to be Mitzarfim to a minyan, to have a Dovish B'Kedusha, how come? So the Rosh says, Tosis talks about that. Do you ever have a din that a din the Rabbanan is Deicha Mitzvah Derais? Says in a few places it talks about that. So the Rosh says, unless you say the Maisa Shahaya was, that they needed a minya for Parsha Zohar. So that's the Rosh. There's no mocking for that. The Rosh assumes that Dovah Pashut, that the Kriyas HaTorah for Parsha Zohar requires a minya min HaTorah. So they quote in the Shulchan Aruch. The Sefer HaChinuch writes that the women are not mukhiyev to hear Parsha Zohar, because women are not drafted in the army, even from Mohammed's mitzvah, and the reading of Parsha Zohar is that the people should remember that they have to go to war to battle Timcha Zecha Amalek, and the women are not drafted in the army. That's what we mentioned. Abshalom Levilna had this suggestion that Kahanim are not drafted in the army because they're going to be dead bodies all over the place and not allowed to be Matam Lameisim. So therefore, Kahanim are not Mukhiv in Parsha Zohar, like the women are not Mukhiv, and therefore, if the Balkari is a Kohen, he can't be Motia Sarah Medechai Vosim. This is not Mechuyah B'Domus. So he writes that his brother, Rabbi Tzala Vilna, told him to leave out that essay, that it's not correct. So that's the Shad, and the Minchas Chinuch raises the possibility, maybe women are Mechuyah in Parsha Zohar, just because they're not drafted in the army. Maybe they are Mechuyah in Parsha Zohar. So in Germany they had like that. Rabbi Nosson Adler, who was the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer, also was of that opinion. He was a very original thinker. That's why they kicked him out from Frankfurt, because it was a little too original. He decided not to pronounce Hebrew like the Yekis, he even decided to pronounce Hebrew like the Sephardim.
That's so, really
what?
That's really original.
Yes. The original Hebrew, yes. He did a lot of things not like the Kehillah, so they kicked him out. So when they kicked him out, when they expelled him from Frankfurt, so the Chassam Sofer was a Talmud, he was a teenager, so he went along with him. He went along with him. Because he was raised in his home after his bar mitzvah. He left his Chassam Sofer left his parents' home. He moved in with the Rebbe Rav Nosson, they went with him. So he was of the opinion that the women are Mukhoyim Parsha Zohar. So that's why by the Yekis, they always have 5 minutes before Mincha. On Shabbos afternoon, they'll take out a Sefer Torah and they'll lay Parsha Zohar on behalf of the women, that the women should be Yotz. There used to be a Talmid Chacham lived in a neighborhood who learned Parah Moshe Feinstein. There was a Rabbi Gedalia Felder in Toronto. So he had a son, Aaron Felder. And Aaron Felder married a girl from Broyles. So He put out a few svarim. His father put out major svarim. He put out some minor svarim, nice svarim. So the svarim are written in English, Piskei Halacha, and then the footnotes are written in Hebrew. So he writes about Parsha Zohar. So he writes in the footnotes in Hebrew that here, the menig here is, doesn't say where here is, I mean, he's in Washington Heights. Here the menig is that they lay in Parsha Zohar 5 minutes before Mincha, and Rav Moshe, I think he writes Rav Moshe, because he learned Rav Moshe a lot. So Rav Moshe held that it's very questionable if it's proper to take out a Sefer Torah when there's no major tzorech, and it's really no tzorech, because we really paskin not like Rav Nosson Adler. We paskin the women are not mechuyev in Parsha Zohar. So they didn't, the Yekkes boycotted him. They didn't want to buy a svarim. And then he wrote a Sefer on Hilchos Avelus. So he wrote that Maisira be Irenu. He writes Irenu is Washington Heights. He doesn't say where. Maisira in the Hebrew of the footnotes. He writes that when they have a funeral on Yontif, the Agudas Rabbanim made an Issa. You're not allowed to perform a funeral on Yontif because people always drive. There's no heter to drive on Yontif. There's so many Jews in America not observing. Agudas Rabbanim said you should have postponed the funeral till after Yontif. Right? And Rav Moshe said, Mikra Adin like that. Rav Moshe said, all the kulas that they gave in the Gemara, beyond the Rishon Ayidei Amimim, beyond the Shein Ayidei Yisrael, is only because the body is going to decompose, going to be a Bizoira Mesa. The kulas are not because you want to do Kvura beyond Mahu, Kavatik Bereda beyond Mahu. So he said, Hain today, Bizmanazan, they have freezes, so you don't have any of the Heter. You shouldn't be allowed to do any Malachas Amiolat, you shouldn't be allowed to do anything on Yontuk, just put the body in the freezer and wait till after Yontuk. Then Rav Moshe says, how can I say this? People say, I'm an apikoyres. It says in Shulchan Aruch that you do. So he says, because that's right. They're wrong. That's all. All the heterim only apply. So here in Broyers, they always did funerals on Yom Tov Rishon, on Yom Tov Sheni. So they had, and they always bury in Clifton, New Jersey. They have a goy drive over the bridge. And then they always have, Clifton is a Jewish community. There are Jews living in Clifton. You can eat by them, you can sleep by them. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, whenever there's a Jewish community there, so the Chevek Kadisha should not come back Chutz L'Tchum. If it's Toch HaTchum, they can walk back. Wait, it's Chutz L'Tchum, Clifton, New Jersey. So here, the practice always was, the Goy drives back the Chevek Kadisha across the bridge to Washington Heights, then they get off and they walk home from the after the bridge, they walk home. So he writes this up in his safe, Maisira B'Yireinu, that someone died on Shavuos. A lot of things are dedicated to this young teenager who died on Shavuos. He was learning in Broyer's Yeshiva, and the Chevek Kadisha drove back, and he says it's against the din because they could have stayed over there and they shouldn't have had the funeral on Yontif anyway because the Moshe said the whole thing is wrong. So they never bought his swarm. They boycotted his swarm. You're not allowed to argue with Rabbi Breuer. This was years ago when Rabbi Breuer was still alive. Some had a practice that they would Mincha Soluza, the Minkachi writes, some had a practice that when the Balkori would lay in Parsha Zohar, the Tzibu would say along softly under their breath with the Balkori. Was that this? Because they're concerned that maybe you don't apply Shemei Kohen to a Din Derais. It's not correct. You say Kiddush. They said, no, Kiddush because we ready to have Ma'ariv. So you might say Kiddush B'Tfilos, so Kiddush Alayan is only the Rabbanan. But if it's Kiddush is Deraisa, you wouldn't say Shemei Kohenim. You say Shemei Kohenim at Tkiyah Shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So they hold it's not Bidin Shemei Kohenim, it's Bidin Shlichas. They appoint that's what David Nezer first wrote in the first tshuva that he sent to his brother. The brother wrote him a letter that he heard from the father, who was a Talmid Chacham, that the Baal Tekeis Motzi, everybody, is based on Shemei Kohenim. So David Nezer said, you must have heard wrong, it can't be. What is it based on Shemei Kohenim? Shemei Kohen only applies when there are words, when there's content, when he said something. So Shemei means I hear it, and I understand it, and I agree with it, and I'm going along. But then in Tkiyah Shofar, just making noises, how can you say Shemei Kohen? There are no words. So what is it based on? So the Avnei Nezer thinks it's based on Shlichas. We point to the Shlich. Then in the next letter, right after that, in the Chuvus Avnei Nezer, he backs out and he says, no, you're right, because the whole discussion of Shemei Kohen appears in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The very end of the third Perek, Yotzamaitzi and everything, so you see from the Gemara that just like by Kiddush, for other Shemei Kohenis, that Kiddush is also based on Shemei Kohenis. He backed out. So the Pashto says, you do say Shemei Kohenis, even on Dinim Derais. somebody who heard from the Vilna Gaon wrote all the Hanhogas. He wrote Maisa Rav, and he writes one of the Hanhogas of the Gro was that when he read Parshas Zohar, he would say Timcha es Zecher Amolek. Instead of saying Zecher with a Tzera under the Zion, he said with a Segel, Zecher. So they gave the whole Sefer to Rav Chaim Volozhin to give a Haskama. So he writes, he never heard of that. He says, I was there. He says, he doesn't remember. He said, maybe the guy had wax in his ears. Maybe he didn't hear right. Or maybe the Vilna Gaon changed his mind. He said, I don't know. So that's what the Mishnah Brura has, a chumrah, that you should learn twice. It's learning Zecher and Zecher. Maybe it's correct. Maybe the Vilna Gaon held that it should really be Zecher. So that's a shaila. When you say twice, so do you say the whole pasuk twice? Or you just say the word twice? You say the whole phrase twice? So the asked Rav Soloveitchik, he said that he thinks Mikra Din, there's no need to say the whole pasuk twice, just say the phrase twice. You can't just say Timcha Zecher, Zecher, Amolek, not just say the word twice, they say the phrase twice. Where did he get it from? He didn't say. But there's a Mishnah in Brochus, I think it's the second parak in Brochus. If someone was reciting Kriya Shema, and he made a mistake, he left out a word, or he mispronounced the word, it says you have to say Kriya Shema in order, if you call them afreya lo yotza. So you can't just correct the word at the end. So you have to go back, chazal makam shator, and then you go back from that point on, and you go vayta. So when you have the big mishnayis with the Yochanan Boyer, so they have in the bottom of the page what they call Tosfos Chadoshim, alikut al achrayim. So the Tosfos Chadoshim has on that mishnah that from the mashmos of the Tosfos on that daf is mashma, that chazal makam shator, you have to go back to the beginning of the pasuk where you made the mistake, and say over the whole pasuk. Then he says, and the Levush says not so. The Levush says you just have to say over the word. And the Balatanya in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says on that Levush that it's not always the case. You should really say over the whole phrase. You should go back to the beginning of the phrase. You shouldn't just say from that word on. Say from the beginning of the phrase. So that's Rav Soloveitchik, who was brought up in a Lubavitcher village. So they always, in Chaslavitcher, in a Lubavitcher village, so they always followed the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. So the Balatanya says, whenever you made a mistake and you want to say it over, you don't have to go back to the beginning of the pasuk, not like the Mashmos of the Tosfos, and not like the Levush, that you just say the word. You should say over the whole phrase. Yeah.
What about repeating the words in the Megillah that we say twice, like?
Same thing, same issue.
Just the phrase.
Remember, someone says to Rav Soloveitchik that. This is a recent, this is a modern thing in recent years that there's a suffix, what's the kriya? They say, Isha lomad bifneihem, Isha lomad lifneihem. Or it's a suffix where they say, Lahashmin laharga, Lahashmin velaharga liyabin. Years ago, they never had these fakers. Somehow these fakers crept in the last 100 years or so, the last 150 years. But the Ozarua has one suffix. The Ozarua quotes that there's a suffix, what the reading should be. Vayishaneha esnara seh letoy beis anoshim, Vayishaneha. The Esnara say, with a vav or without a vav. So someone asks Rav Soloveitchik, why don't we say over that pasuk? There is a Ruah has that pasuk as a suffix. The others are a modern invention, that there's a suffix on bifnei and lifnei. Rav Soloveitchik said, yeah, you don't have to say over anything. Because the Yerushalmi says, quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that if he made a mistake, that's not Mishanes or Inyan, so b'di'evad yoytze in Kriya Samigil. L'chatchile you should. But he said, mikra din yoytze, even if you don't say it over. Because it's not Mishana Esayinu. So he says, Ginuk, it's enough that that they started the shtick by the Lifnei and the Bifnei. So you don't have to add on more seikas. Not Mechuyev to add on more seikas.
She said the whole phrase or the whole pasuk? Just the phrase or the whole pasuk?
Yeah, just the phrase. It's enough just the phrase. That's what the Baal HaTanya holds. It's enough. If you made a mistake, it's enough just to say over that phrase.
So
is
that what they do here by Parshas Zohar?
I don't know. Parshas Zohar is only 3 psukim. Baruch Epstein was a lady, so he wrote an autobiography. I have to have a lot of patience to read his autobiography. It's very long-winded. So he writes that he had an uncle. His father was Aruch HaShulchan. So he had an uncle who was a lady. They were Levim. And the uncle, when he would get an aliyah and a tiny seabird, the lady's aliyah is only 3 psukim. So his uncle would refused to say the Baruch Hashem Aslan unless the Baal Kovod laid him another pasuk, because the Gemara says that 4 psukim is better than 3. The Gemara says you have to have 3 aliyahs. Each aliyah has to have a minimum of 3 psukim, but the sum total has to be 10. So 3 times 3 is only 9. So the Gemara says, whoever gets 4 psukim, that's a fatter aliyah. The Gemara never says that 5 psukim is better than 4, 10 is better than 4. Just says 4 is better than 3, because somebody has to get an aliyah with 4 psukim in order to have 10. So his uncle said, I'm not cheating these souls, so he's going to get 10 psukim. He's going to get more than enough psukim. Why should I only? So he would, whenever they gave him an aliyah, a tiny seba, he refused to say the Baruch HaShanasanullah unless the Balkari would continue to lay in another pasuk for him. See, in Parsha Zohar, it's only 3 psukim. So if you say over the whole last pasuk, then you got 4 psukim. Who says it counts for a 4th pasuk? Say over the same pasuk, why it counts for a 4th pasuk? So Taisus and the Rishonim say it like that. Because the Kriyas HaTorah on Purim is Vayov HaMolek, and it's only 9 psukim. So the Rishonim ask a question. Each aliyah, the 3 aliyahs, each aliyah is 3 psukim is fine. But you're supposed to have a minimum of 10 psukim. So the real answer is what it says in the Yerushalmi, Shalim and Yonah. If the whole topic is completed in 9 psukim, so you don't need a 10th pasuk. But some of the Bali HaTosfos had a practice, Shulchan Aruch they mentioned, some of the Bali HaTosfos had a practice, they would say over the last pasuk twice, even though it's a repeat of the same pasuk, that's called a 10th pasuk. So just like they say that counts as a 10th pasuk, so if you're laying Parsha Zohar and you say over the last pasuk twice, so you made it a fatter aliyah. You made it into 4 psukim instead of 3. And the Torah Tmima's uncle would be excited about that. Okay, you get 4 psukim instead of 3.
One of them is definitely a wrong pronunciation.
Yeah.
That's
a question. The Gemara, the Yerushalmi says, if you made a mistake in Kriyas HaMegillah, Torah says, not Mishana Sohinya, so you don't have to lay over again. So is that only a din in Kriyas HaMegillah because Nikra Sigeris and Nikra Sefer is not the same as the Chav Dalet Kisvi HaKodesh? We paskin, there's a Machlokes in the Gemara whether there are 24 Kisvi HaKodesh or 23, where the Megillah says this is part of the Tanakh. Well, not. There was a Machlokes till the days of the Amorim. When they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, they only had 23. They didn't have the Megillah Sester. So that was a Shaila. Does it mean that it was out on loan and they didn't give it back? Or they didn't have Megillah Sester as part of the Tanakh. It could be that they didn't have, because till the days of the Amorim, it was a debate. So we paskin l'alocha, Megillah Sester is part of the Kisvi HaKodesh, but it's one leg in and one leg out. The Nikra Sefer and the Nikra Sigeris. Not 100%. So because, so we, that's why if you make a mistake, he said Yehudiim instead of Yehudim, so you don't have to lean over again, because it's a choice that's not Mishana Soinya. So the question is, does this carry over to Ilchas Kriyas HaTorah, or is only a din in Mikra Megillah because Nikra Sigeris? Maybe it's only a din in Mikra Megillah. So the Rambam says like that. The Rambam says, any slight choice in Kriyas HaTorah, Machzir Mosad, Yemedaktik Afilu Dikdukal, even if there's a slight mistake. Rav Soloveitchik used to tell over this story, that as a teenager, he once went, they traveled, the family traveled to visit Rav Chaim, and then they gave him maftir, and he said Rav Simcha Zelig was on one side of the shulchan, and Rav Chaim was on the other side. Rav Chaim told him, if you make a mistake in Trump, we're going to be machzayu. Make sure you don't make any mistakes, because the Rambam says, afilu dikdukal. So that's on the assumption that that Kriyas HaTorah is mochomer, that this is only a kula, mikra megillah. That a toy that's not Mishana Suinyan is not Miyake. Yeah. So that's the but in Shulchan Aruch it says in Kriyas HaTorah also, if it's not Mishana Suinyan, you don't lay no. So he probably I'd say the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, probably I'd say whether he said Zecher or Zecher, it's all the same thing. Probably I'd say either way. So it counts as 4 psukim. You'd say both times. You'd say both times. The Gemara says because Nikri Sigeres, Nikri Sefer, Nikri Sigeris has 1 foot in, 1 foot out of Kisvi HaKodesh. So the Gemara says, a mekel on the Tfiris. In a Sefer Torah, you have to apparently have Ruba Kukuloi. Rive of the, sometimes Sefer Torah is very tall. So you have to rive of the whole Sefer Torah should be tofer. Gilas Esther, because Nikri Sefer, Nikri Sigeris, so a little mekel on that, so it doesn't have to be that much. How much do you need is a big, different interpretations in the Gemara. And the Mechaber recommends you should be choshish for all the opinions. But the Gemara says Nikri Sigeris that you make them. The Gemara also has Nichtav Ruboy. Let's say you have words missing, letters and words missing in the Megillah Sester. As long as 51% is written and 49% is missing, so you can lay the Mikra Megillah from that Megillah. Lechatchili should have. You shouldn't rely on Ruba Kukula. Ruba Kukula mitzvah is only b'dievet. It says in the Gemara when you drink Arba Kosev on Pesach Natsu, we drank Rav Kosev Yotzei. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Bach, that's only b'di'evit. L'chatchila, the mitzvah b'shleimus is drink the whole kos, not just to rely on Ruba Kukula. That's based on the Gemara, the first daf and the second perik in Chulin. The second perik is Hashechet. Hashechet b'di'evit and l'chatchila lo. So it says Hashechet, if you shecht roif of the kana neveshet by the behemah, so the behemah is kosher. So Gemara, what do you mean Hashechet? That's what you're supposed to do. That's l'chatchila. Why does it say b'di'evit? The Gemara has two suggestions. So one suggestion is that l'chatchila sheshech both simonim. So that's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, whether that's the raisa l'chatchila, the raisa l'chatchila de rabban. Pashtu says that those who hold it's only l'chatchila de rabban, because they hold that shechita is not a mitzvah, so you can't have a l'chatchila de raisa. This is right in the end of Nida. You can only have a l'chatchila de raisa if you're dealing with a mitzvah like chalitza. So l'chatchila you need the mitzvah b'shleimus, you need kriyas ha'psukim, you need the rikikim, but you ever get to the mitzvah shalom b'shleimus. But on a getter, on a tefillah, on a mikveh, you can't have them cooking kosher food. You can't say l'chatchila it's also b'di'evit, it's mutter. If it's l'chatchila also b'di'evit mutter, it's a dead giveaway that it's only the rabbon. In a matter, you can't have a l'chatchila there. So that's, this is called in the end of Nida. So here, there's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. The machlekes Rashi and Tosfos is not on the daf. It's in the first parak. If you look in the Lev Aryeh is a classic sefer on Chulin. The Lev Aryeh on the first daf in the second parak refers you back to the machlekes Rashi and Tosfos in the first parak, whether this is a l'chatchila deraisa or l'chatchila derabban. So the pashtus says that that's what they're fighting about. If shechita is a mitzvah, so then it's shach to say it's a l'chatchila deraisa and not to rely on Ruba Kukula. If shechita is only a matir, it's not a mitzvah. The pashtus says it's not a mitzvah. Why should it be a mitzvah? The Rambam counts shechita as a mitzvah. The Rabbi asks, what's the mitzvah? Well, shechita is not a mitzvah. That's a shayla. What does the Rambam mean? Could be the Rambam also never meant that it's a mitzvah. But the Kas Mishnah understood, the Kas Mishnah comes to defend the Rambam from the Hasagas HaRaivet. There are Hasagas HaRaivet on the Sefer HaMitzvahs also, not just on the Mishnah Torah. The Sefer HaMitzvahs is the Hakdama to the Mishnah Torah. So the Raivet is Masig. When the Rambam says Shechita is a mitzvah, the Raivet is Masig. It doesn't make any sense. Maybe it means it's an Iser essay, but it's a Kiyum essay. Why should it be a Kiyum essay? So some say that that's what the Rav Leitchik thought, and others say that's what the Rama meant. It's an Iser Es. It didn't mean it's a Kiyum Es. But the Kesem Mishnah understood not so. Kesem Mishnah said, no, the Rama held that it's a Kiyum HaMitzvah. It's a Kiyum essay to Shecht. And the Kesem Mishnah says, since it's an essay deraisa, so the Gemara, so you say, Sofik deraisa l'chumr, whenever there's a Sofik, how are you supposed to fulfill the mitzvah of Shechita? So you have to go to Chumr, the Kesem Mishnah says over there. That's why the Rambam quotes that l'chatchila, you have to shecht shnei simonim ba'oif, and you have to shecht kol ha'simon, not just to rely on Ruba Kukula, because it's a l'chatchila deraisa, it's a sofik deraisa l'chumr. More out of sofik, what did the Mishnah mean to say is b'di'evit? It's b'di'evit that you rely on Ruba Kukula, l'chatchila shecht kol ha'simon, or it's b'di'evit that simon echad is enough ba'oif, l'chatchila have shnei simonim. So the Rambam is machmar on both. Why is he machmar on both? So the Kesem Mishnah says, because sofik deraisa l'chumr, because it's a mitzvah sesei, the mitzvah. So it's a l'chatchila deraisa. And others disagree with the Kesem Mishnah. No, the Rambam never meant that it's a mitzvah. He meant it's an iser esei. That's what the Rabbi wrote. Anyway, so that's the Gemara, that's the Mokka, that whenever you have a Ruba Kukuloi, it's only b'di'evit l'chatchila should really do kula. So here also by Mikra Megillah. If you can get a Megillah, that's all written. You shouldn't have to rely on 51%. That's better. But the Gemara says if 51% is written, 49% is missing, so you can be yotze mikra megillah. The Gemara is saying Ruba Kukula on two levels. Ruba Kukula on the chefts of the megillah, even though it's only 51% is there, 49% is missing. Ruba Kukula gives it a din of the megillah, and then Ruba Kukula on the kriyas of megillah. The Balkar is supposed to lay mitoch haksav. So since he's laying 51%, Ruba Kukula is laying mitoch haksav. So that's called Kriya mitoch haksav. It's Ruba Kukula on the Chepts of the Megillah, Ruba Kukulai on the Kriya. The Gemara that the Mishnah has in the second parak of Megillah, there's a four-way Machlokes HaTanaim. How much of the Megillah do you have to read? This Shabbos is going to be Parshas Tetzaveh, so you have to have a whole Sefer Torah. You don't learn the whole Sefer Torah. You have to have a whole Sefer Torah and to learn Parshas Tetzaveh. So you have to have a Megillah, do you have to read the whole Megillah? So we pass on like Rav Meir, that yes, you have to read the whole Megillah Kula from the beginning to the end. And there are three other Tanoim who disagree. So one Tana says you have to start from Ishi Hudi Hoya. One Tana says you have to start from Achar Advam Ha'ela. The other Tana says, I forgot to read one. The other Tana says, you have to start from Balayla Hu Nodadoshnas HaMelech. And we pass like Rab Meir, Hilchus HaKulo, but even according to the other three Tanaim, that you don't have to start from the beginning, but Tzvichu should take Suva Kulo. They have to have, the whole Megillah has to be there, but you can start from the third Perek and read to the end. So the Rashboi asked Akasha, if 49% of the Megillah can be missing, as long as 51% is written, so what do you need Suva Kulo? Get the Megillah, take a Megillah that's missing the first four chapters. You're going to have the last five chapters, but more than 51% is written. You can learn the rest bal peh, and then so what do you need? Tzrichus the Ksuva Kula. If all you need is 51%, so the Rashba and the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Rashba says, if it's missing Tchilos of the Seifa, that's no good. Missing the beginning, the first chapter is missing. The beginning is missing. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a Machlokes Achrayim regarding this. If Tchilos is missing, that's no good. That's in the Chepsa of the Megillah. What if a guy walks in, it happens at every shul, someone walks in a minute late to Mikra Megillah. So the Baal Koreh already said all the three brachas, and he's about to say, Vehi b'mei Achashverosh. So the person wants to say the brachas, he quickly says the three brachas from a Siddur, Mikra Megillah, Shas and Nisim Shachyanu, and then the Baal Koreh is up to Pasuk Gimel. So he quickly says, from a printed Chumash, he says, Vehi b'mei Achashverosh, he says the first few psukim, and then the Baal Koreh, you have to have Kisidron. So then he listens to the Baal Koreh from the fourth Pasuk God. When the fifth pasuk comes, so he has more than 51% was read mitoch haksav. He read the first couple of psukim bal peh. So the Mishnah Berurah has a machlokes achrayim. When the Rashba said tchiloso is no good if it's missing, it means and the chepts of the Megillah tchiloso is missing. What if the Megillah is perfect, but I missed the first few psukim from the Baal Koreh? So I said the first few psukim bal peh. That's also no good. The Rashba would say it's also no good. Tchiloso or sofo has to be mitoch haksav. So he quotes a machlokes achrayim about that. I didn't think it made sense. We had a machlokes here in the yeshiva once. So neither of us knew the Mishnah Berurah. So Rabban Lichtenstein said, the guy's not Yotze. And I thought, of course he's Yotze. What do you mean? That's only a din in the Chefetz of the Megillah. Then my wife gave birth to a baby on Yud Beis Adar, the day before Tainus Esther. One of my daughters was born on Yud Beis Adar. Rav Soloveitchik, whenever he would want to give a mashal, when a boy is bar mitzvah, so I always give a mashal. Moshe Rabbeinu is born on Zayin Adar. He becomes by mitzvah on Zayin Adar, the first day in the 14th year. The observation would always give, a baby is born on Yud Beis Adar. That was his birthday. That was his birthday. So he always gave that as a mashal. So I remember I came to the yeshiva, and I told everybody why I had a baby. So Rabban Lichtenstein got so excited. Oh, the Rav's birthday. It's the Rav's birthday, Yud Beis Adar. So when my wife went to the hospital, so I took along a sefer to read, because it's going to be in labor for a long time. So I took along a Mishnah Berurah. So I found years after that incident, I found the Mishnah Berurah quotes this machlokes achrayim. Whether the Rashba is, if he's missing tchilosa or sofa, it's no good, even though you have 51%. So I thought the Pashto says it's only on the chefs of the Megillah. But if the Megillah is perfect, that you said the first Pivsukim Baal Peh, I thought that would be good. And then he quotes another opinion who said, like Rabban Lichtenstein said, that it wouldn't be good there either. I don't think it's right. Pashto says that it is good. The Mishnah says, Haloes, Sheshama Ashuris, is Yotza. He doesn't understand Hebrew, he only understands English. So if he hears the Mikra Megillah in Hebrew, he's Yotza. So the Gemara is bothered with Akasha, but he doesn't understand what they're reading. How can it be Yotza? Where's that Kasha? Somewhere over here. Gemara asked the Kasha, and it should be Yud Ches Amar Aleph somewhere. The Gemara asked the Kasha, but he doesn't understand what they're saying. So the Gemara answers, it's okay. Because we don't understand every word either. We don't know what Achashteronim are. Achashteron, B'nei HaRamachim. So he's Yotze. So there's a Machlekes, an important Machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos. It's not here, it's in Brachas. So Tosfos learns the Gemara's Kasha was, he doesn't understand the word, so you can't say Shamei Kaina. If you read the Megillah yourself, so it's a Haloi Shekar Ashuris, I would understand. But Haloi Shama Ashuris, how can you say Shamei Kaina? Shamei means you hear, you're not deaf. And Shamei means that you're Shehu Meivin. But if he's Lo Meivin, if he doesn't understand, that's not called Shamei. So how can you say Shamei Kaina? So to that, the Gemara answers, you're right. And call a Tarakula Vahola Yoda Maika Amri. So the Gemara says it's okay. So Tosfos learns the Gemara said, you're right. Shema Kohen only applies if you understand the language. You understand that. But here it's a new din. It's a Pisumi Nisa. So it's an exception to the rule. Mikra Megillah is an exception to the rule. And Rashi doesn't learn like that. Rashi just learns. The Gemara said, you say Shema Kohen even if you don't understand. So that's a Shaila Halacha L'Maaseh. Let's say someone says Kiddush. People listening, they know that Kiddush has something to speaking about the sanctity of Shabbos, but they don't know what the words mean. So Tosfos says they're not Yotze, because that's Eino Shamea. Shamea means you hear, you're not deaf, and Shamea means Shatom Mevin. Shamea means Atom Mevin. That's why the Avnei Ezer thought that Kiyah Shofar can't be based on Shamea Koine, because they're not saying anything. What do you mean? Shamea he hears, but Shamea means Shehu Mevin. There's nothing to be Mevin. There are no words there. So then in the second letter he backed out and said that's also based on Shemei Kain. Fine. But that's the Machalikas Rashi and Tosfos. In the Shulchan Aruch they write like Tosfos, that you don't apply Shemei Kain if the person doesn't understand what they're saying. That's called Eino Shemeya. And Mikra Megillah is an exception to the rule because it's an Inyan of Pesuminis.
Maybe it's good enough in Kiddush. You have to say every word of Kiddush. As if it's just trying. The Kiddush of Shabbos, that's enough. Even if, you know.
Could be. That could be. You have to see which words do they not understand. Yeah.
Many Hasidic sects, don't they not teach women like Hebrew? So how are you, Yotze, the Shemekwan, to understand what's going on?
Right, that's talking about a problem. Okay. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says, that many women had the practice when the husband says, Kiddush says, Baruch Atah Hashem, Okay, Mahan, Bar Piagofen. So that they understand more or less, because they say Bar Piagofen themselves, they know what that means. Then the husband says, Baruch Atah Hashem, Okay, Mahan, Bar Piagofen. So far is okay that they know, because they've been shlich, they go to mikveh, they say a bracha. Then v'ratzavanu, that's a hard one. Hinchilanu, that's a hard word. So the practice is that they would say softly, mutter under their breath, the middle of the kiddush, v'ratzavanu, hinchilanu, till the end, hinchaltanu, and then they stop, and then the husband finishes, and he says, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos, that they understand. Baruch Atah Hashem, they know Mekadesh is holy, Shabbos and Shabbos, that they know. So many Litvish women had that practice, that they would say along, because the Mishnah Berurah writes like that. So they would have that practice, they would say along softly under their breath, the middle part of the Kiddush.
There was also in Bracha, in the beginning of Shalosh Shabbos day, and one person knows how to bench for everybody, can be most the others, but each one, if they have to split Bracha, they're not allowed to be.
You don't say Shemekon on the half of Bracha, right? So that's a stira. There's a Gemara and Daf Chof in Brachas where the Gemara has, where the Mishnah says women are mechuyev to recite Birchas Hamazon, because it's a mitzvah says Shaloi Azman Grama. The Gemara has a suffix whether the obligation of women to recite Birchas Hamazon is deraisa derabon. My nafkemina. So the Gemara says nafkemina. Can a woman be mitzi a man? If the man is b'chuyim min ha'Torah, the woman is only b'chuyim in the Rabbanon. So, mishenim b'chuyim b'dov, v'ni mo'ti yasaram de'chevos. So, why should women not be b'chuyim to bench min ha'Torah? It's a mitzvah sesa shalaz magrama. So, Rashi and Tosfos have different suggestions. So, one pshat is because you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Eretz Chem de Toivo that he gave us Eretz Yisrael. The women, basically, noshim not l'chelik b'aretz. But I slavcha, that was a yotze min ha'klav. But in principle, the women didn't get a chelik b'aretz. That's what some say. The women are not mechuyev to say that. While brischa shechasamta b'psareinu, the women are not mechuyev to say. Al teroscha shalimad etol, women are not mechuyev in Talmud Torah. So there are various. Malchus beis David mishichecha, Malchus beis David, women are not in Malchus, the Gemara says. So women are not mechuyev to say. So Rabbi Kevega says in the Jewish V'chidush, if the women are not mechuyev, so for sure they can. The Gemara's topic was the obligation of the women to recite the rest of the Birchas Hamazon. One line or another, there are four lines that maybe the women are put. Either to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're not mechuyev to thank, or Abischa Shel Chasamtum, or Teroscha Shel Imadatanu, or Malchus Beis David. So there's either one, two, or three, or four possibility. Four lines are not mechuyev. So the Gemara Safik was, because of those four lines, they're not mechuyev in the whole benching, it's either all or nothing, or no, the rest are mechuyev, and this they're not mechuyev. So this they're not mechuyev, so that can be, you might say the husband, they're not mechuyev in this. So Rabbi Kevega says, obviously the husband is going to have to say that line on his own. So how can he say the line on his own? So that the later Mefarshim asked, so Rabbi Kevega says, see from this Tosfos, did you say Shemei Kohen on the half of Bracha? So the later Mefarshim asked Akasha, But Tosfos quotes the Rif in the beginning of Shlosha Shachlu, that when you're benching Mezumin, you can divide it up. One person will say, in the days of the Gemara, when they benched Mezumin, only one person said the benching, and the other just said Amen. So the Gemara says, the way the Tosfos quotes the Rif, you can break up, when you bench Mezumin, one person can say Tilu Azaras Hakol, one will say Tilu Yanav Noidalucham, one will say Tilu Yanav Rachem, another will say Atoiv Ameitiv. Why can't you break up one bracha into more than one person? So that says you can't do that. So this is not in contradiction to Rabbi Kiveger. So they give different terutzim. So the, what's the sefer on Birchas Osher? No. Birchas Osher? On Rabbi Osher? No. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner. I think he wrote Birchas Osher. He wrote the Keser Rosh. Keser Rosh is like Maaser Rav. Maaser Rav is Hanogos of the Gross, so the Keser Rosh is Hanogos of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. And then he wrote, I think it's called Bichas Rosh. Bichas Rosh, on Nazir, old Sefer on Nazir. In the back of the Vilna Shas, they only printed the Hagos for the Bichas Rosh on Nazir. But he has Chidushim. Those were the Shurim that he said in Volozhiner during the lifetime of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Could be, I don't know. And then he wrote a Bichas Rosh on Brachas. So the Bichas Rosh talks about this Kash, and the Chazanish talks about other Mephoshim talk. Rav Soloveitchik thought that the best answer is what the Bichas Rosh says, that in Chazaras HaShatz, on Bench and Mezumin, that's a Bracha that's offered by the whole Chabura together. So that has to go in a unit of a Bracha. It's not based on Shemei Koinu. If one person says Kiddush for another person, two people have to bench. The husband doesn't know how to bench, so the wife has got to bench, and she's going to be mitzi the husband. So that's based on Shemei Koina, plain based on Shemei Koina. So Shemei Koina, you do apply even to a Chatzi Broch. That's what Kivega showed from Tosfos. But when you bench Mezumin, it's not based on Shemei Koina. The whole Chabura offers one Bichas Hamazon. When the Chazan repeats the Chazaras HaShatz also, it's not based on Shemei Koina. Everybody davened already. It's based on Tfilos HaTzibur. The Chazan says the Brochas on behalf of the whole Tzibur. And it's the whole Chabura, the whole Tzibur offers the whole Bracha, the whole Shmona Esrei. So when it's a Bracha of the Chabura, Bracha of the Tzibur, so then it has to go in units of Bracha. So it's Chazaras HaShatz also. The Din in Shulchan Aruch, the Din in the Gemara is, let's say, the Shliach Tzibur Shetor. Mishnah Berurah writes, it usually happens in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, because there are so many piyutim, so the Chazan loses his voice, or the Chazan faints in the middle, and he can't continue. Every Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, someone comes to the yeshiva after they tell us that it happened as an issue, that the chazan conked out in the middle, he couldn't continue. So the din is the new chazan has to go to the tchilas abrocha shetozeh. And if it's gimel rishon, it has to go back to the very beginning of the whole Shmona Esrei. You have to go back. You don't have to repeat all the piyutim, but you have to say the text of the Shmona Esrei all over again. So Chazaras HaShatz is like that, and Bench Mezumin is like that. So that's a special din. Whenever it's a bracha that the whole chabura offers a bracha, the whole tzibur offers a bracha, so then you have to go in units of a bracha. But when it's yechidim, it's plain old Shemei Koina, then you do say Shemei Koina even on a half a bracha. The Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Bench and Mezumin quotes a sefer Birchas Avraham. Birchas Avraham was a rav in Germany who lived before the days of the Shach. Shach lived in the 1660s. And he quotes from the Birchas Avraham. It's him and you test in the every day. It's him about Birchas HaShchita. The Shach quotes from this Yekish Rav. He must have lived way before him. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Birchas Avraham. It's a sefer all about brachas. So he says, even though we follow Tosfos, that you don't say Shemei Koina if you don't understand what the person is saying, because it's called Einu Shameya. But when you bench Mezumin, everybody's Yetzi, even though they don't understand. Why? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik explained, because when you bench Mezumin, and one person says the whole benching, it's not based on Shemei Koina. Shemei Koina is considered as if all the people bench. We don't want all the people to bench. One, the whole Chabura should offer one Birchas HaMazon. Today the practice is, Shulchan Aruch recommends that everybody should say along softly the Birchas HaMazon with the Mezamin. But the Ikar HaDin should still be observed. The Mezamin should say the whole Birchas HaMazon out loud till the end of the Olam Malach HaSreinu. Till the end, at least the Mishnah Berurah said, at least to the end of the first bracha, as honest I call them, preferably to the end of the whole Birchas HaMazon, till the other Malach HaSreinu, because Mi'ikar HaDin, the Mezumah means that one person says the bracha on behalf of the whole Chabura. The Mechaber quotes Rishayim. I recommend that today people find it difficult to pay attention to somebody else. Everybody likes to shoot their mouth off. They want to stay on their own. So everyone, we're afraid we may not pay attention. Our mind may wander, may not pay attention to the mezamein. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch recommends you should say along softly, quietly with the mezamein. But you shouldn't lose out on the Iker Adin. Iker Adin should still be observed, namely that the mezamein should say the whole Birchas Hamazon. The whole Birchas Hamazon not loud. Either the mezamein should say, or the mezamein should say one bracha till Hazanas Hakol. Someone else can say till the end of Noidlocha. Third person can say, but you have to go in units of brachas. So you can't say on a half a bracha because it's not based on Shema Kaina. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Birchas Avram, because Benchim Mezuman is not based on Shema Kaina. So all of the people would be yotze, even though they don't understand the words of the benching. They're participating. They answer Amen. They're participating in the benching. And it's not based on Shemeah. Shemeah kain in each Shemeah, number one, he should hear, number two, he should understand. But the Ben Shemizuman and everybody's Yotze is not based on Shemeah kain. Everybody participates. And it's considered that everybody's Yotze, even though they don't understand. There is a machlekes regarding Ksivas Aseres Bnei Haman. The Gemara says, you don't write Aseres Bnei Haman like the rest of the Megillah, just like in the Sefer Torah, you write Hazinu like a shira, and you write the Zayis HaBracha like a shira, Az Yoshev is a shira, so you write it differently. Here also you write it differently. So another shira, you write Ariach HaGabi Leveinu Leveinu HaGabi Ariach. You have a little bit written, empty space in the middle, then on the next line, Keneged, the empty space on the line before you have written, Keneged, the line that has written, you have an empty space. That's called Ariach HaGabi Leveinu Leveinu HaGabi Ariach. Why is it called Ariach and Leveinu? So Rashi writes on the Gemara, that an Ariach is a Chatzi Leveinu. A Leveinu is, I think, 3 tefachim wide. Long, 3 tefachim long. An Ariach is 1.5 tefachim long. So Rashi says, and then the Gemara says that, how is Shiras Hazino written? Hazino is written in 2 columns. So Sabrach is written, Ariach HaGabi Leveinu, I already forgot how Hazino is written. But the Aseres Bnei Haman has to be written, not Ariach HaGabi Leveinu, you have one, the left column says the ace, and the right column has the name, I think, or the other way.
The right column has the ace, and the left column has the name.
The right column has the ace, and the left column has the names. Okay.
So
the Gemara says you have...
One.
So the Gemara says you have empty space in the middle. You have empty space in the middle. So Rashi says the empty space in the middle is the Levena that's supposed to be twice the Ariach. So let's say it says V'yeis, it's only 3 letters. But on the other side it says V'yzasa. So how many letters V'yzasa? V'yzasa. 5 letters. V'yzasa is 5 letters. So the empty space in the middle should be 10 letters. Rashi says the empty space should be double the amount of the ksav. Because an Ariach is always half of the Levena. Most of the Megillah, a lot of the Megillahs do not have twice.
The huge ksav that we use is a very enlarged.
Yeah, Parshandasa is 7 letters. So you have to have empty space for 14 letters. That size. Yeah. So most of the Megillahs do not have.
You don't have to add the S to Parshandasa and double that.
I don't think so. Just probably whichever one is longer. Uh-huh. The S is only 3 letters, but the names are longer than the S. So Rashi says empty space should be twice. Many of the Megillahs do not have double. So the Achrayim say as long as it has enough space for 9 letters. Because whenever you make a stuma, a stuma has to be enough space to put 9 letters that size of the ksav that you're writing. Or you make a psucho, so psucho you leave empty space at the end of the line, psucho has to be an empty space enough to write 9 letters. You have to have any given line in a sefer has to have a minimum of 9 letters on it. That's why there's a machlokes when you have to have base yud hei shin mem vav pekosh shemo. Are the 6 columns that have to begin with that Bereshis has to start with the base. Okay. And then the Yud, of the Yud, base Yud, hey, Shin Mem Vav, the Yud is a Machlekes Minhagim, not Minhagim. Whether it's Yehuda Ata Yoducha Achecha, is it the word Yehuda, or is it the word Yoducha? So the right before Yehuda Ata Yoducha Achecha, I think there's a Psucha. So Yehuda has to start at the beginning of the line. If if the bottom line is going to say Yehuda Atah, then the next column is going to start with Yoducha. So Yehuda Atah is only 8 letters. Yud Hey Vav Dalet Hey Atah is 3 letters, only 8 letters. So how can you have a line that just says Yehuda Atah, the next column begins Yoducha Achechon? So many poskim say it's a right that Yehuda should be on top of the Omer, not the word Yoducha. Others say no, if it's Aloch L'Moshe Messina, it's a Kach Nema Aloche, that this is an exception to the rule. Even though you only have 8 letters on the bottom line, Yehuda Atah, that's the din, because the next column has to. It's a shayla whether the base Yud Hey Din Shin Mem Vav is that Ma'akev B'Yevet. Bereishis starts from the beginning. That's Ma'akev B'Yevet. Okay, but the question is Yehuda Atah Yaducha Achech and all the others, is that Ma'akev B'Yevet? So some hold this Ma'akev B'Yevet to me. So that's also Ma'akev B'Yevet. So it could be that this is supposed to be Yoducha, not Yehuda. I think the common practice have Yehuda. You don't have Yoducha, no. I think so. We don't have a line with 8 letters. So that's what the later Achranim said. We don't do like Rashi. As long as you have an empty space in the middle, even though it's not Levena vis-a-vis an Ariach, it's not twice as long as Parshan Dosa. There isn't enough space to write twice as much in the middle. As long as you have space for 9 letters, it's good enough. That's called the space. Less than 9 letters is not called the space. So the Gemara says there's a special way how you have to write the Aseres Bnei Haman, Chamesh Meyos Ish. So you have to have the word Ish. Then you have Ace on the left side. Chamesh Meyos Ish, Ace. Parshan Dos of Ace, Adal Meis, Aspas, Ace, Paros of Ace. So the I think the left column always has Ace. I think so. And it says Aseres on the top. And then after the last name, whoever it is, then it says Aseres. Then it's, the next column says Bnei Haman Ben Amdos Agogi. So you should write Chamesh Meos Ish, Ish B'Rosha Amud, and Aseres B'Sofa Amud. So the common practice is that you have, let's say, Megillah Esther with 25 lines, and then when it comes here, you have Ish on top and Aseres on the bottom, and you have only 11 lines. You have the Aseres B'Nei Haman in the top line. Ish, Ace, then you have the 10 lines with the names, then it says Aseres, and you go to the next column. So this is, instead of having 25 lines, you only have 11 lines over here. So how can they have 11 lines? So what they do is they write it in bigger letters, and they leave big empty spaces between one line and the other line. So the Chayyadim has a long arichas on this. Chayyadim was a mechutin of the Vilna Gaon. He delivered a hesped when the Vilna Gaon passed away. He was in Vilna. He was a businessman then. He became a dayan in Vilna. He wrote the Svarim when he was a businessman, not when he became the dayan. So he quotes this whole discussion. So they had two tainus against the common practice. We have Masoira, where you're supposed to have big letters, like Shema Yisrael, Shema Ken, Hashem Echad. So Ayin is supposed to be a big letter, Echad is supposed to be a big dalet. Over here we have no tradition that the Aseres Bnei Haman is supposed to be written in big letters. So what's that? These are writing in big letters. So they argue the point, they say, what do you mean big letters, little letters? This column, this Amud, in contrast to the rest of the Megillah, before and after, is big letters. You just look at this column. Everything is in the same size. Everything is big letters. Vaizos is supposed to be a long vav. So the vav vaizos is supposed to be bigger than the others on this column. But this column doesn't have to be vis-a-vis the rest of the column. That's the question. Is that true? You treat each column separately? You say, no. You made the whole column is big letters. Because the column before, the column after, the letters are much smaller. So did you violate the din that you put big letters where they don't belong? Then issue number two is that you leave an empty space. The din is, let's say, you're supposed to put a psucha. So if you leave, psucha means you have to leave it blank till the end of the line, but it's only called the psucha if you have enough room to write 9 letters on the size of the letters that you're writing. Well, what's if there's only enough room to write 8 letters, 5 letters at the end of the line? So you have to leave a whole blank line after that. Now the Sofrim know how to do it, so they never do this. But when you go traveling in Europe and they show the old Sefer Torah, they all have like that. They have a blank line in the middle of the Sefer Torah. Because there was supposed to be a psucha. There's not enough room to put 9 letters at the end of the line. So the din is you have to leave a whole line blank. So the din is if you put in a psucha where it doesn't belong, if you put in a stuma where it doesn't belong, so it passes the whole Sefer Torah. And the Gemara seems to say it passes the Megillah also. Passes the Megillah Esther also. So here you have the Aseres Bnei Haman, the whole Megillah has 25 lines or more, and here you have a column that only has 11 lines. Chamesh Meyah Ish, the Ace, and then Aseres Bnei Haman. So you have big empty lines in between one line and the other. So you put in psuchas all over the place. So the others argue that's not psuchas. In this column, that's how big a space you. Let's say you have a column of Sefer Torah, and you always leave 5 lines in between one line and the next. And so that's the, what he's doing. He's leaving 5 lines. If I leave 10 lines, then he left the psucha. But if he leave the whole Sefer Torah is written like that. Instead of only leaving 1 line, it leaves 2 empty lines. Leaves 5 lines. Let's say you write on line paper. You have to write on every line. People often skip. You write on every other line. You can write every 3rd line. You can write every 5th line. But you have to be consistent. So here, who says you have to be consistent? The whole Megillas Esther. You're consistent on this column. So that was the Shaila, whether that's right or not. So the Vilna Gaon held that that's not right. You shouldn't write in big letters, because there's no masor that the Seres Benam. The Vava by Sosa is a masor, should be big letters. Shouldn't write, shouldn't leave empty lines. But what do you do? The whole Megillah has 40 lines, and this one is only going to have 11 lines. So he says it's not correct. You write ish, and then you write 11 lines, and then you continue writing on the bottom of the column. No one said that the 11 lines have to take up the whole Amud. I think Gemara says, Ish Barosh Amud and Aseres B'Sof Amud. It means that part of the Amud. There's nothing wrong if you write more on the bottom of the page. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that a lot of poskim hold that if you do like the Vilna Gaon, it'll pass all the whole Megillah. So the way to satisfy all the opinions is to have a Megillah that has consistently only 11 lines. The whole Megillah from the beginning only has, it's going to be a very long Megillah. As long a Megillah as it is. 11-line Megillah.
Yeah, the 11-line Megillah.
Okay, so then you satisfy, the Vilna Gaon, satisfy everybody else. The whole Megillah only has 11 lines. But most Megillahs are not like that. So that's the big machlekes, the Vilna Gaon and the others.
What would be the reason to enlarge it?
No, they all assume that have to have Aseres. What do you have? Hamesh Mios Ish, you have to have Ish on top, and Aseres on the bottom, Barosh Amud B'Sof Amud. It has to take up a whole Amud. So what are you going to write in small letters? So then you're going to have bigger empty space. If you have a Megillah with 40 lines, and here it's only going to have 11 lines, so it's going to look strange. You're going to have 6 lines in between each of the 11 lines. You're going to have a lot of empty spaces. So they write the letters bigger, and then they have a slightly larger empty space between one line and the other. So that's the question. Is that acceptable?
Everything it's better to have more, to have the regular size and then have bigger spaces? Would that also be a problem?
Bigger space in the shot, you put a psucha where it didn't belong.
Yeah.
Why
can't you have just that one would have bigger fonts? That's fine, just be the same throughout the Megillah.
That's the machlaika. So some hold, you judge each column separately. Others hold, no. The rest of the Megillah is in smaller font. So these are all Osias Gedolos. So you put Osias Gedolos where it doesn't belong. I don't know, I don't think that puzzles. But then you have big empty spaces between one and the other. There you put in a psucha where it didn't belong. So that, the Gemara says, does pass.
Why is that a psucha?
When you have a whole empty line in between one line and the other, so that's called a psucha. When you leave a whole line empty. Yeah. Years ago in the old Sefer Torah, they used to, now they have a tikkun. All the sefer write according to the tikkun. Everybody writes the same. They never get stuck in such a mess. But years ago, a lot of times the Sefer came to the end of a parsha, and then it's supposed to be a psucha, and there's not enough space for 9 letters at the end of the line. So you leave a whole line blank, and you start on the next line. That's called the psucha. There's a whole line blank. So here, in between the 11 lines, you have big empty spaces. So that's, you're stuck in 10 psuchas where they didn't belong.
But if you have the font so big that there's no...
Okay. A lot of times you have a font so big, so you just have the issue with the Yosef's Gedolos. Where it does belong. You don't have any psucha. Okay, that would be hefetzara. That would be less of a problem. There is a machlokes where the Mikra Megillah is considered Dibri Kabbalah or not. We have Dinim Daraisa, Dinim Darabana, have something in between. A Din Darabana that has the approval of the Bezon Shalmala. That's called Dibri Kabbalah. So Rabbi Kivegir on the bottom of the page in the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Turi Evin, that's by the Shagas Aryeh. So the Turi Evin is of the opinion that Mikra Megillah is Dibri Kabbalah. So the Gemara says an expression, and the Rabbi Natam has it more so, Dibre Kabbalah Kedibre Torah Damyan. So just like you say Safik Daraisa Luchumer, you would say Safik Dibre Kabbalah Luchumer. So if the person is Mesupik, maybe he missed a word, we would insist he has not a Safik Darabana Lukula, we would insist that it is Dibre Kabbalah, and he has to lean over again, the whole Megillah. Yeah. So the Mincha Saluza, the Minkacha, is not happy about this. He quotes a Rashi from Maseches Tainis. Rashi on Tainis is not by Rashi, but it's somebody who lived there many generations ago. So Rashi on Tainis writes, the Suda Rashi writes, that something is only elevated to the level of Dibri Kabbalah if it appears in Tanakh, Belosh, and Tzivui, that you have to do this. Here it never says that you have to read the Megillah. Yamim Ve'ela Nizkarim, the days are spoken of, Nizkarim. Doesn't mean that they are remembered, they are mentioned, they are spoke of, and the mentioning is an allusion to Mikra Megillah. That's what Gemara said in the first half of Megillah. That word Nizkarim means Mikra Megillah. So since it doesn't say Belosh and Tzivui, it just says Belosh and Lemaisa. The practices, they speak about it, and the Minchas Aluza claims that it's not called the Rikabol. That's a question, whether it's Mikra Megillah is Dibri Kabbalah or Dirabonim. Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying over Rav Shlomo Ladona is Chiddush. He used to say the name of the Tur Yevin. I don't think it's in the Tur Yevin, but Rav Shlomo Ladona has it, that Kriyas HaMegillah Leil Purim didn't exist in the days of the Tanoim. It was introduced by the Amoraim. The Gemara in the beginning of Megillah quotes Amoraim were the ones who say. The Mishnah is only talking the Sefer Rus, or the Sefer Esther, says Hayamim Ho'ela. So the Gemara says Yamim V'lo Leilos. So the Gemara says that Sudas Purim Sha'asah B'Layla Lo Yotzi Dechavosai, because it says Lasas Hasim Imei Mishta V'Simcha. Imei is only in the daytime, not at nighttime. So the same thing in the Mikra Megillah. In the Mishnah, it only talks about the Megillah by Yom. Kol Yom Kosha L'Mikra Megillah. It doesn't say Kol HaLayla Kosha L'Mikra Megillah. So the Ritva asks, why doesn't it say? He gives some kind of an answer. So Shlomo Vilna quotes the Ritva and he says he thinks that the answer is that it didn't exist in the days of the Tanaim. It was introduced only in the days of the Amoraim. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to always say, Pshat. Taisus has a machlokes, but the Rama, where they say Shechiyonu, the morning of Purim. Leil Purim, you haven't read the Megillah in a year. So it's a bit, so Abom is man, is man. So we're all excited, you say Shechion. I put on tefillin yesterday, so I'm not so excited when I put on tefillin today. So you don't say Shechionu, unless it's Abom is man, is man, you had to wait a long time. So the child is, when you read the Megillah in the morning, do you say Shechionu? He just read the Megillah last night, so it's not so exciting. So there are Taisus quotes on Dalar and Manalas, Taisus Maschal Psak. So Taisus says, you do say Shechionu in the morning, because the Ikka Kriyas and Megillah is Bayom. The Kriyas and Megillah Balayla is not as important as Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom. Let's say when you blow shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you have just been blowing shofar the whole Chodesh Elul. So what are you so excited about? Why do you say Shechionah on the first day of Rosh Hashanah? The answer is that the Kriyas shofar and Chodesh Elul is only a minig, but the Kriyas shofar and Hashanah is a real din. So that's what the Taisus says. Mikra Megillah Balayla is not as obligatory. Mikra Megillah Bayom is stronger chiv. So that chiv we have not had since last year. So that's why I do say Shechionu even in the morning. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say that that's what it means. The Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla is only Midirabban in the days of the Amoraim. Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom, that's Midiri Kabbalah. That's from the days of the Nevi'im. That's older, stronger Takon.
According to the Rambam, why would you make brachos on the night of
I don't know, it's a minig or it's a takana. They made a takana.
If it's a takana, we make a bracha on a takana of Amoraim.
Yeah. We assume that just like Tanaim can make a takana of Amoraim. No, Halab, they never made a takana. That was a minig. That was only a minig. But this, they made a takana to read the Megillah Balayla. Yeah. So the Gra holds like the Rambam, that you don't say Shechana. The Machabes, you don't say Shechana Bayom. So here in the yeshiva, there always used to be a minyan, a side minyan, where the bedavka did not say Shechion in the morning, and they wouldn't give you a chance to say Shechion either. The Maharil, and the Sefer Maharil, the Drashas Maharil, so he says Maharil was the Balkoire, and he didn't say Shechionu. I think he didn't say it out loud, because the minyan amokim is they didn't say Shechion in the morning like the Rambam, but he would say it softly. Or whoever's the Balkoire should pause in between Shas and Nisim and the Mikra Megillah to give those in the shul a chance to say Shachyana softly if they want to. We respect the other shitas. We have respect for the other shitas. But here in the yeshiva, there always used to be a minyan, the goyim's minyan, that they wouldn't give you a chance to say Shachyana. But only the goyim is right. Nobody else is right. The Gemara in Dav Dala tells that there was machlekes between Rav and his Talmud, whether you have to have Mikra Megillah Bo'asora on Dav Hamad Aleph. Machlekes Rav and Rav Asi was his Talmud, whether you have to have Mikra Megillah Bo'asora. So Rav holds you don't need. When you lay the Megillah on the Yom HaKnisa, in the days of the Bai Sheni, they used to have the Megillah read on Monday or Thursday before Purim by those who lived in the, on the outskirts of the cities. They didn't live in a city. And then after the Churban Bai Sheni, Gemara says they did away with that Takana, we don't do that anymore. So whenever you're laying the Megillah Shaloi Bizmana, you're laying on the Yom HaKnisa, then the din requires Asura. What if you're laying the Megillah on Purim? So Rav says you don't need Asura. And Rav Asi held, no, you should still have Asar. So even though Rav was the Rebbe, and he disagreed, but he had respect for his Talmud Shita, he would always be Mahadah to hear the Megillah of Asar. So that's an Inyan, to have respect for the other Shita. Tosfos quotes the Halachas Gedolos. He says that a woman can't be Moitzi a man, Mikra Megillah, because the man's Chiv is more than the woman's Chiv. Tosfos said there's no basis whatsoever in the Gemara. They don't agree, but they don't want to fight with the Bahag. So the minhag always was that we don't have a woman read the Megillah for the men. We don't have a woman read the Megillah for the men. Same thing, the Bahag is of the opinion. If you missed one day in Sfiras HaOmer, so you blew it and you lost your chance, you can't be out to the mitzvah. Tosfos says there's no mocker for that. It's absolutely wrong, but out of respect for the Bahag, they say you shouldn't say a bracha. Because the Bahag holds that you're not out to anything. So here also. But there are those who don't have respect for other people's shita. They have Dabka, they want to show that the Bahag is wrong, so they have a woman laying the Megillah in shul for the men. So that's disrespectful to the Bahag. We don't do that. Like Rav, there's a concept of Eilu Diri Kim Chaim, there's a Midas Chassidus to be Choshesh for the Shitas HaYochid that's not accepted because of Eilu Diri Kim Chaim. So Rav was Choshesh for his Talmud Shita. Rav was the Rebbe, and he disagreed with the Talmud. He was Choshesh for the Talmud Shita. He saw that it has value to it. He thought it's Aloch Lamaisa, it's not correct. So the Gemara says, nonetheless, Rav would be Mahara to have Mikra Megillah Bizmana, Basora, to be Choshesh for Aras Yeshita. So that's what we do. In Shulchan Aruch, in the Tur, they quote a Machloikas, whether it's called Mikra Megillah Basora only if you have 10 men, or even if you have 10 women, or you have 5 men and 5 women. So we're Machmer because we follow usually the Bali Atosis. The Bali Atosis and Brochus say Beferish that if you have, yeah, the Gemara's Loshen in the first daf in Shlosh Shochel, even 100 women is not more than 2 men. So 100 women, Tosfos says, Ben Yetu Mikra Megillah. That it's not called Mikra Megillah Basar. So the women are cheating themselves. They want to have their own women's Mikra Megillah. They lose out. They're not Yetzer the Mikra Megillah Basar. And they're not supposed to say the bracha. Rabbis Rivenu Adonis Dineinu. The Ramah says you only say the bracha after Mikra Megillah. If you lain Basara, if you read the Megillah Biyochidiron. So all of a sudden they become Goyen fans. Vilna Gaon says the Ramah is wrong. You do say the bracha even Biyochid. They follow everything the Vilna Gaon says. Probably not. I doubt it. Yeah. We assume that we got to go downstairs. So we assume that that the Megillah is part of the Kisvei HaKodesh. And therefore it's Mentames HaYadayim. So the Mishnah Berurah asks in Chelik Beis, in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, how are you allowed to hold the Megillah in your bare hand? The din is that also Lecho Sefer Torah Orem. You're not allowed to hold on to Sefer Torah with your bare hands. So the Mishnah Berurah says you should really wash until Tilus HaYadayim in advance. And then you can hold on because of a Svek Sveka. What's a Svek Sveka? Some, the Beis Yosef quotes Machlokes by the Issa, Lecha Sefer Torah only applies to Sefer Torah, applies to Nevi'im Aksuvim. So even though we are Machma and Nevi'im Aksuvim, but there is such a Shita that it doesn't apply to Nevi'im Aksuvim. Then there's a Mordechai at the end of the first parak in Shabbos, where the Gemara talks about the Yudches Gzeris. So the Gemara has a Kasha that we don't understand what the Kasha is. So Tosfos works very hard to explain the Kasha. So the Mordechai interprets the Kasha very simply. The Gemara was assuming that if you wash until it's Yadayim, Stam Yadayim are usually Asconius, you're not allowed to touch Sefer Torah with Yadayim Asconius, but if you wash your hands in advance, then it's mutter to touch a Sefer Torah. So we don't pass them like that. But when you get to the Megillah, the Mishnah Berurah says, we're Mekel B'tzira both together. It's like a Svek Svek. Maybe the din is that the prohibition only applies to Sefer Torah, Urcha Sefer Torah Orem, and even if it does apply to Megillah says, then maybe washing your hands helps in it. If you wash in advance, maybe you're even permitted to touch a Sefer Torah. So when you wash it, those who are going to touch a Megillah should make sure they wash their hands in advance, but they shouldn't say a bracha, because Taisa doesn't agree with this. Taisa says washing hands doesn't accomplish anything. Okay, so we got to observe.